The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child but then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old. I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Artard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Artard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. A little disorganized today. We all got here a little late, but we're here.
Oh, well, you got here late. We got here the same time we get here every
right,
show.
Right, like 2 minutes before the show. Andy's here. Right. Eric's here. Paul's here. I'm here. Kevin's in the booth. We're talking Patriots today from 12 to 2, as we do every Tuesday and Thursday here in PFW in Progress. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Very strong show on Tuesday. We were way up there in iTunes.
Oh, good.
For
individual episodes, the April 10th show skyrocketed.
Why is that?
I don't know. It was.
You weren't here.
You weren't here. That's one. That's.
I wasn't here.
No.
Of course you were.
No.
Oh, that's right. It was yesterday.
You probably could have talked me into it.
It got a little crazy at the end.
Now you're Grandpa Draft now.
It did get a little crazy at the end, but that followed the show, and we didn't talk about this because Eric wasn't here the week before. We really haven't talked about, you know, Cirque de Perillo and the stunt that he pulled at the end of last Thursday's show.
What happened?
You missed it. We were talking about Andy was going on a rant about how he hates feet. He's disgusted with feet.
Feet?
Everybody's
like feet of strength.
Grass, right?
Yeah, he said everybody's
hate feet.
Everybody's feet are disgusting and smelly. I said, my feet don't smell. And he goes, well, how could you? You never got close enough to smell it. I go, well, no, my family would tell me if my feet smelled. And then Paul,
you can tell by someone's shoes.
Paul,
really,
unprompted, basically takes his foot and puts it over his head.
No,
who knew he had that type of flexibility?
I said that my feet, don't smell
considering
either.
The circumference that he has to overcome.
Yeah, I thought the gut would get in the way.
How many years has it been since you've been able to smell your feet? And I said, I can get my foot close enough to my nose to smell it. To which they said, no, you can't. So I did.
But you know him. You can't get him to do anything.
Right, exactly.
And he immediately grabs his foot and pulls it up to his face.
Yeah, that I'm not sure that I can do, I don't do.
It's not like he's sitting on the floor with his back to the wall. He's balancing himself
on a stool
while he's doing it.
How were you so sure that you could do that is my question.
He just knew.
I just was.
He just did it.
You were... So you hadn't done it recently before then?
Well, why would you?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking, because you were very confident.
I need to apologize to Eric.
No.
Fred is mischaracterized. I did not put my foot behind my head.
He put it up to sniff
close
it.
to your face.
It was about as close, I would say, as the mic is now.
Right.
It wasn't that close.
See, the true story behind this is when Paul gets nervous watching the Red Sox games, he bites his toenails. Anyway, it's been a crazy.
He's like a creepy old man.
It's been a crazy couple
of
shows.
John Henry?
And hopefully this will be
was
another
it, And this was in the last few minutes of that show?
Yeah, right at the end.
So that's what it is.
And then we had
there's
guest.
Something where, like, when the show's about to come to an end, we all get this nervous energy that, we don't want
to end.
Well,
he was going to stop early, and we talked.
I hate the end of the show. I just want to do the show all the time.
All the time.
That should have been your meeting yesterday, Freddie.
Yeah. I got other.
How can we do more radio?
Paul's referring, we had our annual content summit yesterday here at the Patriots where everybody's invited.
Nice of you to show up there, Kevin.
All of us. Yeah. Did you not know about that?
No, no.
Matt LaPan was there.
No, I know. He told me. He was like, where were you? They were asking for you, and I never got an invite or anything.
Oh, nice job, Fred.
You're not the only one. I forgot Lindsay, too. But anyway.
But she showed up, too.
She was there. So we had this annual content summit where we talk about all the things that we'd like to do content-wise, and it's us. You know, obviously the digital team, PR, because we rely on them to, I don't know what they do. We rely on them. And then all the salespeople, because they have to sell the stuff.
Well, I will say one huge thing that we get from PR now is Christy for the social media aspect.
Yeah.
She's knocking that out of the park.
Yeah.
And that's helping us, too, because when we start to do things now on the Patriots Twitter handle and Facebook stuff, she's including
right.
those links, and that's given us a lot more exposure.
Needs
a lot,
to help
a lot
us
of
boost
help.
Our Twitter following, though. She's got 300,000 or more of them. That's
well, she does.
Yeah, well, but you know what I mean. She runs the thing.
No, I know, but
she needs to give us some more FFs.
I believe she has like 30 if you go to her personal.
No, not her. I know. I'm talking about the Patriots account. We need more FFs from the Patriots account.
Friday followers?
Yeah, the Follow Friday thing.
Follow
things.
Friday.
Yeah. It needs to be a weekly thing from them.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, we should.
So
do
you
that.
Should tell yeah. Stacy to have her do that on a weekly basis.
I don't need
basis.
To tell Stacy to tell
yes,
her.
Yes, you do.
Oh, I do?
Yeah.
I just
because
ask
she
her
won't
to do
it.
It
on
she'll
her...
do it.
Yeah, I just
you would?
Cut the middleman out.
Yeah.
Just go right to Christy. She's the one that's doing all
right.
the work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please cut the middleman out.
She's anyway.
Been, seriously, she's been doing great at that.
Yeah. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Any Patriots news that we need to talk about?
Yeah, I owe you an apology.
Okay.
Wow. You were
one of many.
That yeah, right
sure
there
was
well,
a long time
actually,
coming.
I owe you a lot of apologies.
We'll this is a specific one.
And we'll be back with more after this.
Rob Gronkowski got blowed out by yeah. Calvin Johnson.
We talked
blowed
about that
out. So apparently you're right on Calvin Johnson's national popularity.
Well, right in the middle of the meeting, I happened to get an email from ESPN, and I tweeted out that Gronk had lost. So I said to Fred, bad news.
Led to a radio
Gronk
argument
was,
in the middle of the meeting.
He starts yelling at me. I told you! I told you!
Well,
I'm
no,
like, okay.
I actually,
was wrong.
I actually just used that fact in a meeting I just came from, you know, because we were talking about the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame, Patriots Hall of Fame, is now reconvened the committee. So they're going to nominate the three people who the fans will vote on this year. It's probably going to be Troy Brown. Let's face
right.
it. You know, I don't want to, you know, let the cat out of the bag, but it's pretty obvious.
Well, the nominees
this year.
Haven't even been announced,
no,
right?
No, but next year.
Probably shouldn't let the
next,
cat
but
out
it's going to be
bag.
Troy Brown.
It's going to be, he's eligible this year in, other than Parcells, who might be nominated. I don't know.
Just get him all out.
Oh, he
know.
Was a nominee
I wasn't
last
there
year,
yesterday.
So.
I don't know who the guy's nominated. I don't know.
That's part of my problem with the whole committee. I mean, yeah. What did the guys do the last couple of years to not
right.
get nominated?
Right. Anyway.
Shouldn't
thought
the
about
two,
coming back.
Anyway.
Shouldn't the other two be joining any... eligible
for the most
newcomer.
Part, unless they're bumped by two newcomers or three newcomers.
Right,
yeah.
but right. I'm saying, unless there is a deserving newcomer, first-time
yes.
eligible, like
yes.
Troy Brown.
You would think.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, Troy Brown's
not
eligible so this year for the first time. Chances are he'll probably get in. Next year, though, McGinnis, Rodney Harrison, and Teddy Bruschi all become eligible in the
See,
same year.
Parcells won't be on that ballot.
Now, I was talking to
wow.
some people today who said that, well, Bruschi's going to run away with it. And actually, if it was between Harrison and McGinnis, Harrison would probably win. And I said, no, no, no. I said, don't underestimate McGinnis because of his tenure. You know, and he's done a lot since he's left here where, you know, I think a lot of fans have a good feeling for him, you know. And, you know, no, 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 you're wrong. It's going to be, you know, Harrison would beat McGinnis. I go, let me tell you something. I'm right about these things, and I use the whole Gronkowski, Calvin Johnson. I do have a good sense on these things.
Yeah, I would disagree with you on that one,
this
too.
Thing is a whopping 16
I would
inches.
Put McGinnis third in that group.
I
of
think
who I think would win.
Well, first of all, of the three, they think Bruschi is a runaway,
I
which
think
could
he will.
Happen.
I think he will.
But I think it's going to be a little closer than they think. I think McGinnis gets more votes than people think. I really do. He was here a long time.
No, I know.
You know, and...
That's your argument for why he wasn't a draft bust.
See, the two things that I'm trying to weigh is what the fans will do, with how the voting will go, and what I think.
Right.
Because I don't think they're necessarily the same. I kind of agree with Andy a little bit. I think Harrison's more popular.
Yeah.
And sometimes that wins out. Sometimes. Not always. But I personally think Bruschi's a lock for the Patriots Hall of Fame. I don't think the other two should be, but they will be.
Yeah.
I don't think I would rather have some other candidates than Harrison for longevity reasons. McGinnis, to me, was just kind of
right
there. He has longevity going for him, but I don't think he was a great player.
Yeah. I think in spurts he was, but not throughout his career, for no doubt about it.
Without getting into a huge discussion of this.
No, and I
comparing
I
him
you
to Kevin Faulk, who I've always said is like the perfect team Hall of Famer because he's not good enough to be an All-Pro or a pro football Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I kind of think there's a lot of similarities Faulk and McGinnis.
See, I look at it differently because I think McGinnis has always gotten more credit than I thought he deserved, and Faulk, I think, got less credit than I thought he deserved.
Interesting.
And I kind of, that plays into my analysis, evaluations of why I want Faulk as a Patriots Hall of Famer, because I think that's ultimately the highest level he'll be able to achieve is to be able a Patriots Hall of Famer.
That's interesting. It's an interesting way of looking at it. More credit than maybe he deserved and less credit than maybe he deserved.
That's how I would look at those two guys.
Interesting.
So those are some of the things going on inside the walls of Gillette Stadium.
Wes Welker was on the NFL Network last night
and will be again tonight.
I know you guys were tweeting out about that. I didn't see it.
So he was on last night.
Yeah. He was on last night as part of a roundtable on the bounty
later,
program.
And
that big-eared guy.
Oh, Siciliano there?
Yeah.
Kind of blocked out the guy that was
behind
him. My God,
it's like a lunar eclipse.
It really is.
Because I did tweet, NFL Network sent us.
This guy talking about people's big head area.
But my ears aren't quality. It's my head that's big. Now, if my head were normal size, maybe my ears would look big.
My God, if your ears were big, holy mackerel.
I'd be like,
it really would be a jumbo.
You'd have to have your own zip code.
But I panicked because I saw on NFL Network last night, they said that Welker would be on tonight.
Both, yeah.
And I saw the thing that NFL Network sent out yesterday, and I saw that you tweeted it also. I tweeted it out, and I was like, oh, man, you know, every time I tweet, I have a mistake. He was on Thursday. I know I said last night. I'm glad he was on both nights. I didn't
He did a bounty program thing last night, and he's going to do a Patriots season recap and look ahead tonight, supposedly. So I would assume the first question that's going to be asked is about his contract.
I wonder how that happens. Like, does Wes Welker reach out to the NFL Network and say, hey, I'd love to do some stuff if you want me? Or do they
probably
go to the teams and say who
probably
we
the other
want
way around?
You think they reached out to
probably
him?
Probably. Well, are these the guys that were in the Depends ad with him?
Oh, you think it could be
because I think Clay Matthews was in the Depends ad.
He was.
I don't know if Ware was.
DeMarcus Ware?
There were three guys in it, and it was Welker, Clay Matthews, and somebody. Now, I didn't know if there was a tie-in promotionally with the Depends
it
and
could be
the prostate and all that stuff.
Yeah, it could be. Yep.
But I think a lot of times it goes that way. I think there's some other entity that ties it all together.
Yep.
But I thought Welker's best comment last night was when he said something to the effect of, the first thing the Saints need to do is sign Drew Brees, because if you don't have your head coach, you really need your quarterback. And I think his leverage went up quite a bit with this bounty scandal this offseason.
Leverage
talk I thought was interesting from a guy who's also a franchise.
So we'll
player.
Pick this up again tomorrow, Wes.
Talk about your leverage, little guy.
I mean, is there a chance that Drew Brees doesn't show up for the off season training?
Yes.
Especially if
he
there's
can't
nobody
show
to
up
run
if
it.
He doesn't sign it.
Yeah, I absolutely.
That's true.
If you're not a member of the team, you can't show up.
Right.
There's that. And then
absolutely
if he does,
think
I mean,
a chance.
Well, maybe he can keep doing private workouts like he did during the
lockout. Yeah.
Everybody come to my house and we'll work out.
On that note, Mike Wallace says he has no intention of signing.
He wants a long-term deal.
I'm starting to think Mike Wallace getting some bad advice. You know, the one that started with the 8 years, $120 million that you're worth.
Right.
Bring it down a couple notches, buddy. Reality called.
So it'll be interesting.
Forte, too, said he'll never sign.
Matt Forte is another guy.
Said he's only going to sign a long-term contract.
He will never sign a one-year deal.
Right.
Forte
would you trade man for man, Welker for Matt Forte?
No.
Man, no.
He's not going to sign anything more than a one-year deal.
Fred apparently would with the bug eyes that he's showing us.
What?
He's not going to sign a one-year deal.
No, you'd both.
No, the Patriots will offer him 2 years at 16.
Each team would have to then
give
the guy that they get a long-term deal.
Yeah, well, the Patriots aren't going to give him a long-term deal.
Matt Forte?
I wouldn't.
No chance.
No.
I think he'd come in cheaper than Welker.
I don't.
You don't?
Yeah, I don't.
I do.
I also think they've been able to survive without the running back.
They'd
rather have the wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree with
part of the reason I'm always for drafting the running back is I never want to give the second contract to a running back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Matt
Forte,
that's
kind of what the Bears
are
saying, too.
Yeah. Right. Not only that, he's coming off an injury.
I don't kill the Bears for what they're doing. Yeah. The only thing that was a little strange was that whole...
Oh, they brought in...
Yeah, Michael Bush.
Bush.
Right?
Yeah.
That was kind of odd to me. That was almost like
and the way it was worded. It was holdout insurance, and everybody said, well, you're forcing the holdout now by...
ensuring the holdout is what you're doing.
Well, is there any correlation to what New England's doing with all the wide receivers they brought in? Could one make an argument for that?
Sure.
Yeah.
A little lesser degree.
To a lesser degree,
well,
right.
Yes. But I think
Brandon McCoy is a legit guy who needed wide receivers. In Chicago,
they also did.
They had a guy.
They really needed
wide receiver.
Right.
Like a big time.
They brought in three or four.
They needed one guy.
To
add depth and create some competition and
the difference
really
is,
upgrade that whole unit.
But the difference is you only have one running back. You have six receivers on every team.
If you had Welker, Gronkowski, and Hernandez, you needed one more guy. Hmm. You didn't need to upgrade your fifth spot.
I don't see. I'm excluding Hernandez and Gronkowski from this discussion. As far as wide receivers, they could make that unit better.
But what's the difference? Who's going to be standing on the sideline next to Chad O'Shea?
Well, when you go five wide, you need three wide receivers.
And not in this offense.
But they had
two guys who were tight ends.
But they could have.
So you're saying you're going to take those guys off the field?
Take them off the field and put five receivers
in? I'm including three wide receivers and two tight ends in that formation.
Right, so Welker, Lloyd, and Branch.
Now they have it, right, with the addition of Lloyd. But
as
Branch,
I said, they needed
Branch,
wide receiver.
But Branch is not necessarily – you can get better than Branch. I think they think that. I don't think they have.
Do you?
I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, Lloyd is better than Branch.
Plus they re-signed him.
Yeah,
I mean,
so they liked him, obviously.
But I think it's all in an effort
to get back to Eric's point. Yes.
Pretty good season.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they needed more than one.
When you have a receiver who catches 100 and something and a tight end who's catching 90 something, to have your third option be, or fourth option be a 50 catch guy,
look,
you're not going to do much better than that.
No, I know, but you know that all these guys don't always play the whole season, and I think that they felt that they could improve on their depth in the overall wide receiver core. And I think they're going to bring these guys into camp and let them fight it out and come out with the best.
Well, I agree. That's what they're doing. But I'm saying they needed to get one wide receiver who was better than what they had. And they did.
Yeah.
And Brandon Lloyd. And I think to Eric's point about the possibility of the volume of wide receivers, what if our guest from Tuesday, Anthony Gonzalez, comes in here and is able to stay healthy and pick up the system and become a valuable option?
He could beat out Deion Branch.
I think that does turn up the screws on Wes Welker a little bit, to answer your original question. It gives you another option of a guy who can be productive in various roles, whether it's in the slot or outside. As he said, he just wants a chance to play. Mm. And we talked to him a little bit as we left as well the other day. As he was leaving, and he doesn't care. He's been very comfortable both inside and outside.
And Bill Polian was very emphatic that he's not just another New England slot receiver, that he can do things outside. He's a legitimate option out there.
Right. You know, so
that's a valuable guy for Belichick.
Yeah.
So
if he does better than Taquan Underwood, then that's great. Then now your overall team is better.
Yeah, see, to me, it's either way, that guy's going to be on the sideline is my point, because those other guys are going to be on the field.
But Taquan Underwood he had to play at times. So when that guy, whoever it is, has to play, you want him to be the best player that you could get.
But you signed Brandon Lloyd.
Well, he's the guy.
No, but you've already added somebody well ahead of Taquan Underwood.
My point is they didn't need to get a guy better than Taquan Underwood.
But
they
you have
to get a guy better than Deion Branch.
No, but regardless, you've added a receiver who pushes, as you said, everybody else down. So the few times that Taquan Underwood had to play, that person isn't playing this year because Brandon Lloyd is playing.
Well, right.
That person is now Deion Branch because Brandon Lloyd is now Branch.
How many wide receivers do you think they will carry this year?
I have no idea. I have no. It'll
if you count Slater,
at least,
six.
Yeah, five or six.
I have no idea.
If you count Slater, I'm guessing six.
If they all come in and are healthy and look good, they could have a quote high class problem of too many good receivers.
And that's a good problem to have. Yeah.
And then they'll have to decide because you know, as you're breaking down the roster, you can easily say Hernandez is a receiver, and now I keep my two tight ends, which are Gronkowski and Fells. I mean, you can break it down different. Or Hernandez is my fullback. Because I don't have a fullback. I mean, you can move him all around.
And we're not going with the power running game?
No. And it all depends how all those guys battle out and who's healthy.
Right.
But, I mean, Chad Johnson, who apparently as of Monday will be Chad Johnson again, he said.
he's really been cranky on Twitter lately, huh?
Yeah, but he claims, like, he's coming all in. You know, that Tom Brady's never seen Chad Johnson play and never seen Chad Johnson cut on a dime and all this crap.
We haven't even mentioned his name in the whole mix.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, he claims he's working out hard. He's joking with Greg Aiello that he's up to 225 pounds. Come test me or whatever. And they're, you know, going back and forth. But, I mean, what if he gets it? I mean, you could legitimately have.
No, I'm
being Fred Kirsch here. I mean, that they're all going to get it is very doubtful.
Right.
But
or
it's
they're all going to be healthy.
But that's
the
what
year.
I mean. You you have a chance where it's a tough decision.
Right.
You're not battling between Tyquan Underwood and my guy Taylor Price.
And
for
that's
your last
a good
roster
thing.
Spot.
That's great.
Sure.
Right.
But it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. Just the only point that I'm trying to make is
well, it's not. There's no chance they're all good and healthy.
I know.
It doesn't.
I know.
They didn't need to upgrade.
Good and plenty. That
could
be a
spot on the roster. I mean, that's not going to make your offense any better.
Good and plenty.
Good and plenty.
Well,
is my point.
Not bad.
I think
but they
away.
Needed to get somebody better than Brand, better than Deion Branch.
Paul's
and they
right.
Did,
Paul's
with
right
Brandon
though.
Lloyd.
They needed a playmaking wide receiver.
Right. Everybody didn't disappear for 3 weeks. Right. Yes.
Everybody goes down a notch.
Right.
Now you have what you needed. You needed one more wide receiver.
And
right.
if you get some
to
depth,
add to the mix, and they
fine.
Got that, with
but
Brandon
they needed
Lloyd.
A playmaker.
Hopefully, I mean, we're just saying that like it's
yeah, but
fact.
They needed a playmaker on defense too, and they've done nothing.
Well, we still have the draft.
There's a lot of people yet to become available. Web radio
love,
at
love
patriots.com.
The June 1 availability.
508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Andy on Thursday told us about his fetish for Pringles, and
on
we
Tuesday,
got an email
Tuesday.
From someone who wants to remain anonymous.
She, oh yeah,
yeah, you can sure
a food fetish.
Sure,
especially the way you described them.
You can have a fetish about anything.
That's a good point, Paul.
I thought it's an affinity for something.
The way you licked them.
Oh yeah, that makes
it right.
sound
well,
sexual.
Right. Well, we have an emailer who
does the word fetish have to imply something sexual?
No,
doesn't.
No.
Doesn't have to. In this particular case, it did kind of sound a little bit that way.
I
but
like
it doesn't
to
have
lick.
To.
Well, he makes everything
stuff off.
Yeah,
well. Everything about him is
can't
boobies
get a
or
proper
duty.
Time to get that.
it's all about that. Anyway, this person, she wants to remain anonymous. She says, I never thought it would happen. I was just listening to the Tuesday show and the Pringles discussion. I like Lay's, but I'm addicted to Pringles. No big deal. But then I almost died when Andy said he licks off the coating. I do that with the sour cream and onion ones. So there you go.
Those
I have something in common with Andy.
I'm sure he would say, no. Oh,
no,
yeah.
no, no, those are the ones. It's a white powdery.
That's just ridiculous.
Be ready for Bill to trade up because hell just froze over.
Maybe I just found my soulmate.
Good email.
My soulmate.
We can like cross
soak
hands
it in a hot tub,
lick each other's chip
in a hot tub.
No,
okay.
You don't want to soak it up in
I
a hot tub.
I wasn't being dirty there. You know how people do the
you
thing
were
with
being
champagne?
Dirty there. Yes, you were.
They wrap their arms.
Don't try to tell
a little dirty.
It's like a Cialis commercial with Andy licking his chip.
You never know when the
you never know when the Pringles going to open up.
That's why they put it in that tube, is that phallic symbol.
You never know when the seal's going to get broken.
When you're done with the chips, then you can
use it as a sock.
Oh.
I just got a mental image of a Pringles can and
all that salt.
Oh. God bless you if you're using a Pringles can.
No, I just meant... Like you're in college or something, and you have some roommate who does that, and you go to hug him.
Okay.
That would be a good prank,
I don't know
though.
What you did in college.
No, he said use it as a sock.
And he's like, oh, Pringles, this is awesome. And opens the can,
and they're
all.
Like, oh.
And then he licked
all
the sour cream.
What's funny about that comment?
No,
what's funny about that
Ranch.
Comment is Ranch I said dressing. I said you could use it as a sock, and this one immediately took it
well,
as
I knew what, you
what
meant.
He does with socks.
Right?
Which
well,
is
come
disgusting.
On now, you meant it like that.
That's what you meant.
I still say God bless you if you're using a Pringles can for that.
Anything else, Patriots, before I get to more emails?
Well, Melvin Ingram in town.
Yes.
Yeah. According to Melvin Ingram.
On okay. Sirius Radio, he was, where was he? Wherever he was, someone interviewed him and he said, what's on the agenda? He said, I'm heading to Boston to go to the Patriots.
Was he with the Jets?
I don't know.
I forget where exactly he was.
Somewhere in the Northeast?
Come from, but he had told everybody he was headed to Boston.
Undersized pass rusher extraordinaire who's going to get overdrafted.
I don't care about the undersized.
As much as
I care about getting to the quarterback.
Melvin Ingram, Andy's right. Yeah. He's going to get overdrafted. I really like the player, and I really like the person. Mm. He was not a personality at the combine, but not a seventh overall pick,
no.
Which is a lot of where a lot of people have him.
Okay.
Maybe he'll fall. Who knows?
20 slots.
No, but maybe enough that they could trade up to a reasonable area. Like we said the other day.
They're clearly kicking the tires on
15
top
to 20.
Talent. Michael Brockers and Melvin Ingram. And
they should.
Okay.
Well, they have the ammunition to get there if they so choose.
Right.
Exactly.
And
now,
when I say there, I'm thinking probably but you know somewhere in the 10 to 15 range. I don't see them going to the top 10.
They had the ammunition last year, too, when you know there were actually good guys available, not Jags who were going to get drafted.
Why do you have to be so angry all the time?
Because I don't know why they didn't trade up last year.
Because they wanted Robert Quinn.
I wanted a pass rusher last year, and they were all good. They all came in and produced.
Would they have true produced that. On the Patriots?
Yes. Probably not, because he would have like
right. Well,
made them healthy inactives for some reason.
to prove a point.
Right. Because they moved their left pinky first, not their right.
Big props to Tito Francona for giving the Red Sox their comeuppance.
Yes, well done.
I do like that a lot, but you just missed your cue right there.
What?
Eric says, yeah, probably just to prove a point, and you go, yeah, usually that's where you go. I don't know.
Like going
to
the Super Bowl.
Eight division titles in 10 years.
In spite of their personnel moves at times.
Exactly.
You missed your line. Line, please.
Yeah, I missed.
Line.
He was too busy to rip the Red Sox.
I was just thinking about Tito. Yeah.
That was good by him. Well done.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell? You fired me and now you want me to come back?
Not even that.
He's
dead right. You fired me and ripped me out the door. You leaked personal information. Right. And now you want me to come hug you on the field in front of... Go F yourself.
I'm not ready to do that. I think he said something.
Right. I envisioned where he would stab John Henry while they hugged.
I don't blame him.
As he should.
Tonight, the Bruins start their playoff march.
Very excited.
So
got into it a little last night. I was disappointed. No blood was spilled in the parts I watched of the Penguins-Flyers game.
That game was terrific.
I watched most of it.
Speaking of spilled blood, have you guys seen the movie Immortals?
Immortals.
It's on demand right now. Mm-mm. What a bloodbath. Great movie. You got to see it. You know, it's about the Greek gods.
Is it like 300? Is it in that style?
No, it's not in that style.
No?
It's not in that style. But there's a lot of slow motion bodies being split in half and heads exploding. And,
really?
Oh, I mean, graphic.
One of those last night on FX, I watched the season finale of
Spartacus?
Justified, a show that I really like. But out of the middle of nowhere, a guy's arm gets cut off, and they show, like, the center of his arm bleeding out. And I totally caught me and my wife totally off guard. Not something you normally see on regular TV.
Yeah.
Definitely push the envelope.
Freddie, you just do a couple of explosions, do some fancy computer graphics. He's hooked. That's all it takes.
No, but check out Immortals.
It's like me with those high school movies.
You know, I like those Greek gods,
young girls.
Anyway,
Paul's hooked.
But this one is just...
Have you seen the...
Wrath of God?
Wrath of the Titans or whatever it was?
I haven't seen that yet, no.
That looks pretty interesting.
It wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the other one the other day. It wasn't bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to see. I'm actually intrigued by the Battleship one.
Yeah.
That one looks pretty good, too.
Yeah.
With Liam Neeson. He'll take any movie, huh? I used to think he was like a highbrow actor.
No.
He does everything now.
Yeah.
He's good in everything. He's pretty good.
It's
based
like
somewhat
a World War
on II? No, no, no. It's based on the game, I think.
Right. It's based on the game.
And it's these.
Oh, Rihanna's in it. Actually, believe it or not.
It always gets back to Rihanna.
I know you were going to say that.
I think it was directed by Milton Bradley.
But isn't Liam Neeson in that Titans one, too?
Yes. He's the father.
He's Zeus.
Yeah. He was in the first one, too.
Zeus.
As Zeus.
Right.
So, cool.
Cool.
Mark writes in from Cheddar. Currently in Tahoe. Hey, guys, and Mrs. Draft, first thing, Andy agreed with me and admitted he was wrong about Mrs. Draft. I almost fainted. At least we know the confirmed reports about the 6 to 8 years are true, referring to Eric.
Still unconfirmed, but it's just...
Yeah. Oh, they're confirmed. Certainly isn't confirmed the other way of the streak being broken.
The monkey behind the glass has to get working and find the following comment from Tuesday's show. It's priceless. Paul said, quote, Fred, you should know me by now. Any slot will do.
Loose slots.
And one last point. When Tim from Pensacola on Tuesday called, he signed off with, just thought I would give my 2 cents. Now, given this is Tim, and he's almost as bigger DB as Eric, I have looked up the conversion, and his 2 cents is worth about 0.1 U.S. cents. It would be worthless if not for Andy moaning during each call.
Sorry.
A little listener on listener crime.
It's okay. That drives the show. It's part of the show.
What else do we got here?
The ESPN just put up stats for the first 3 seasons for Mike Wallace and Larry Fitzgerald. Strikingly similar. Fitzgerald obviously had more catches, but Wallace had slightly more yards, and they had the same amount of touchdowns, 24 each.
How old is Larry Fitzgerald? When was his first 3 seasons?
I don't know.
Who was his quarterback?
I don't know.
Well, he had Kurt Warner for some of them.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Is Kurt Warner involved there, or he also had bad quarterbacks, right?
Well, he had the likes of
Jake Plummer?
Matt Leinart.
Did he overlap with Plummer?
Matt Leinart, probably.
Leinart was some of it. Yep.
Not Jake Plummer. Jake Plummer would have been in Denver when Fitzgerald came into the league, I would think.
Strippers?
I say definitively with no actual knowledge.
Right. No, I'm just wondering.
That's what I do.
I mean, Wallace has had what's considered a top-notch quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger when healthy, and I just wonder how that would sway the statistics.
Sure.
Wyatt is in Anchorage, Alaska.
What's up?
Actually, I'll say his full name is Wyatt Dodge. So that's he's got to be a cowboy, right?
Something like
Anyway,
or he hates his parents.
Ocho Cinco says he's going to beat up the other receivers and be the number one Patriot. I think Ocho might go back to 850-yard season, stealing Lloyd's number four spot. What? What's Andy's thought then? What's the rest of your decisions? And if Rob Gronkowski wins the Madden contest, well, he's not.
Yeah,
I think he'll get – he won't because he's – so we won't talk about that. But Andy did mention Ocho thinks he's going to come back, and he's got it now.
Yep.
He figured it out.
We'll see.
Is this confidence, false confidence, or
I don't know how that happens from the time the season ends to now. How do you know now that you have it figured
850 out? Yards he's predicting for Ocho?
That would be incredible.
You know? I don't have
Are
much.
You saying no chance?
Zero.
Really?
Zero.
I'm going 17%. I think there's a chance.
I think there's a chance that he could be productive. I don't think there's a chance he could be that productive.
I do.
2004, Fitzgerald came into the league.
Who was his quarterback in 2004?
We have to work.
Jake Plummer.
I don't think it was Jake.
No, I think Plummer was in Denver at that point. I know in 05 he was in Denver because he beat us in the playoff game in 05. You know, the game that you didn't go to. And he has no recollection of it because he's never watched it since.
A wedding.
Some other unfinished business from a previous show. We were wondering where the saying, men want to be with him, women want to be with him, came from.
Men want to be like him.
We get your point.
You know, men want to be him.
Be him.
Women want to be with him.
Emailer says he believes it came from James Bond.
Bond.
So that could be.
Could be.
He believes or it does.
There's no.
Why should wait a minute? Why should the listeners have be held to any different standard than we hold ourselves?
Because if they're going to go through the trouble Jake Plummer, of emailing in, they could Google and do a little research,
right?
We just fly from the seat of our pants.
Correct.
Let's see.
Yes, that was the sound of me opening up another bottle of Coke.
Where's lunch?
Yeah, what happened to the first one? You already went through it.
He sucked it dry.
I had some.
First of all, it was less than half, and Eric had some.
Could you pour me a glass?
I could.
All right, thank you. Jeffrey writes in,
"Would you?
PFW guys, this is Jeff from Regina, the city that rhymes with Eric.
Hey, you got to
What?
You got to take the long way with that one, and it's
Regina,
not
Regina. Really,
yeah, it's not really
it is.
That good.
It is Regina.
Regina.
Now, is that
it's not like Pizzeria Regina,
like the university?
Regina, Saskatchewan.
Salve.
Oh, so this is the guy that's in the draft.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he's talking about the guy that was in the draft, but."
He says, with all the issues Forte is having with the Bears this offseason, is it possible for the Patriots to get him, possibly through a trade of our first two rounders? Do you think it would be a good pickup, and do you think it's possible?
Wait, a trade of what? Two first-round picks?
Yeah.
Heck no.
Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, yes, it's possible.
But no, I
wouldn't
want to
do it. The Bears would do a cartwheel
and
pick the picks up, but no.
That would be very Bears-like in a trade with New England.
I mean,
like usually the Bears are the ones that do that kind of thing.
We'll give you two first-round picks and Matt Forte.
Right.
But Jerry Enfield's not there anymore.
It's the second contract of a running back who has an injury,
right?
Who's under the franchise tag. So you're going to trade two ones and give him
$50 million?
That's the problem. It's not the trade.
Oh, I wouldn't give
the trade. Is a problem too, because I wouldn't give 2 1s.
If you told me he was on a 3-year contract worth a total of $1 million, I wouldn't take him for two first rounders.
A third rounder for him.
Well, first of all, if you wanted him and you were willing to give up two first round picks, you can have him. It's called the way the franchise tag works.
Right.
But I'm saying if I had him for a 3-year deal for $1 million total, I wouldn't take him for two first round picks. I think he's a good player, but he's not worth two first round picks.
Right. What was his career trajectory? Wasn't it good rookie year, disappointment, two disappointments or one disappointment, and then good? No, one disappointment, then he bounced back. Might have had a hamstring. Talk about flying from the seat of my pants.
Yeah, really. Well, I don't even know what you're talking about.
He has to. I mean, he has to be in his fourth year, right?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have to be, but I think he's.
No, he has to be.
Because I was thinking if they franchised him, that means
our pants are doing a lot of talking today.
you don't have to be in the an unrestricted.
I know
free
what you mean. I know
to
what
be
you
franchised.
Mean.
You put that mic down a little bit.
Lord.
Sorry.
Oh, by the way, I just saw a commercial with some pets in it. If you're into dogs, on Patriots.com right now, there's
chickens, whatever you're into.
There's a photo gallery.
It's called
a
fetish.
Pets dressed up with Patriots gear.
Yeah. I like the one
really
with
cool.
The coaches.
The Motorola thing. Yeah. That was really good.
There was an iguana in there that kind of threw me off.
Yeah,
what
the hell is that?
It just came out of nowhere because there's dog, and then all of a sudden this thing that just kind of had a weird.
Yeah. Why no cats?
There weren't any that were submitted.
Cats won't let you dress them up.
No. Yeah, it's a little more difficult to get the cats.
They have their own personalities.
Yeah.
But
although,
it's cool.
Lori Baranski used to have photos. Remember? Didn't she have a whole calendar of photos of her cat
one
dressed
cat,
up?
Yeah. But that cat was held captive.
For like every holiday. And...
I think she used to drug it. Hey, did you see my dude from Everett? Number one overall prospect?
Yeah. Going to
signed
Cal.
Kentucky. To play for a year.
Right.
Yeah.
Alex in Edmonton writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, you mentioned you guys are in the market for more local scouts as we lead up to the draft. Well, here I am. I've got my finger on the pulse of all things University of Alberta Golden Bears. Although that's not really true. Collegiate football in Western Canada is irrelevant. What I do have my finger on is the pulse of Edmonton Division IV men's soccer, which I know Paul and Andy have been screaming for more of.
Bet you they can beat the Revs.
And, of course, the Eskimos of
the
CFL.
The Revs are on fire. What are you ripping them for?
Are they?
No, they lost their last game, I think.
So here's
they
my
got a guy
scouting
suspended.
Report.
The lost their last game in like the 95th minute or something.
Ish.
Yeah.
No the Dolphins really signed former Eskimo Jerome Massam, a Brandon Jacobs-style back, who we're going to need to stuff early at the line or he could power through Wilfork like a hot knife through butter.
If he makes the team.
I'd also like right. it, if Mr.
I mean,
and
you
Mrs.
You already hit gold out of Canada once. How many times is it going to happen for
He's,
you?
He's upset, too, I think, yeah. Cameron Wake.
It shouldn't be. Didn't he have a down year?
I don't know. I'm not going to say anything else
what
anymore.
What do you know?
No, because everything I've said, I'm not sure of, so I'm just not going to say anything anymore.
I'd also like it if Mr. and Mrs. Draft could go back in their notes and give me some information about the style of former Oregon cornerback QB Jeremiah Masoli, who just signed with Edmonton.
Oh, interesting.
He went
He went
from there to Mississippi for a year right. because
Correct.
Of the whole the scandal that he was caught up in over there.
He
Which
is
I
a
what that was,
run pass. He's a typical
he's like a,
CFL quarterback.
Yeah,
he's a run
around,
pass guy.
Has a little bit of an arm. A little
undersized.
Yeah.
But he'll be. I bet he'll be productive up there if he can stay out of trouble.
More of a runner than a passer.
He's always been in trouble.
Okay. And Alex says, if this tangent from the Patriots was too football related, I apologize. If so, here's a question. Lindsay Lohan, ever hot or always a little cringeworthy like nowadays?
I've seen her when I thought she looked hot.
She's had some moments, but I don't. I think she's been somewhat overrated.
I thought she
oh,
had
grossly overrated.
Thought she had cute potential when she was in those earlier movies.
She got a great
But then when she
court.
Got older, she got
see
really.
That's
worn
when
out.
I started liking her. When her
don't you say
Tata's
that about
developed.
All the girls you like?
Great front, great front court. Saturday Night Live. She was hosted once that I kind of looked at. So I didn't realize that
she had all that
sort of
grew up
blossomed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hit 8.5 sacks last year, Cameron Wake.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Lindsay Lohan.
She looks like something the
no
cat
No forced fumbles,
out,
no fumble though. Recoveries.
She might have had more than 8.5 sacks.
There's a lot of miles there.
Oh,
though.
She's had more than 8.5 sacks.
Probably
lot
of
once.
Miles. Remind me to tell you a story about that. That's not for on air, though.
Oh.
Legitimately not on air. I can't say
okay.
it on air.
You know somebody was in a gangbang?
It's the Everett teabagging incident.
No, but okay. Wow.
Was Paul the bag or the tea?
What?
He dipped the bag
yeah,
in the
I
tea.
Know.
So were you the
I
bag?
Think he gets it.
Or the tea.
Right. I think he needs the yeah. explanation.
Stop.
Adam writes in.
Sounds like you're always talking.
Sounds like we hit a little too close to home here.
No, it's just kind of disgusting.
Adam writes in.
Yeah.
Love the show. Diehard Pats fans recently out of the military living in the D.C. area.
Thank you for your service.
I know it's an ongoing debate with fans that Belichick does not like impact or flashy stars. Opting to trade down in the draft or sign a bunch of middle road guys instead of signing the top at his position in free agency. You guys often say that you don't believe this to be the case. You think that the guys in they draft, such as Tyrone Wheatley's and Jermaine Cunningham's, they do so thinking they will become impact stars. I present a different theory here. Maybe Belichick gets too enamored with versatility and value.
Yes.
Yeah. Think about mm-hmm. it. They always look for the receivers who can fill in as emergency slot corners. They look for players who have special teams value. Don't get me wrong. Great to do this with a few guys on each side of the ball.
A few guys, right.
But it looks like Bill looks for it with every player. You won't find impact or flashy stars who are this versatile. They don't need to be. Put it this way. The great players, regardless of position, wide out, corner, safety, the real great ones, do that one position great. Not five different positions at an average slash solid level. Just a thought. P.S. Why can't you guys be on every day, weekly?
You'd get sick of
Instead,
it.
Instead, we get stuck with guys like Adam Jones three times
yeah,
a week.
Yeah, that dink over there in that studio with the beard.
So
is he looking? Is he looking this time?
No, I can't get him to look.
Yeah, that's you I'm talking about again. He's looking now.
That's a good email, and we've talked about it a lot. The
why? Because it agrees with you?
No. The desire for versatility, but I think he misses the point. Talking about positions. I think it's about specific positions where Bill says, my outside linebacker has to stop the run, set at the edge, get in coverage,
right,
rush the passer, or even corners. Because Bill wants to be a game plan team and be able to go man and zone anytime he wants,
true,
some cornerbacks are eliminated because, what's his name? Nnamdi Asamoah, mm-hmm, is a man corner, can't play zone. Bill would say, I don't want him on my team because I don't want to be pigeonholed into I can only play man.
Or he has to be what? So good at
And Asamoah's pretty good. So
right, but I don't think Bill does.
But Bill doesn't do that early on because he doesn't know he's great.
You don't think
so? Bill
skips
the college corner who can't play both,
yep,
and misses out on Nnamdi Asamoah.
It could be.
Did you just say I don't think Bill thinks that Asamoah is good?
That good.
Oh,
that
I disagree.
Where you know, he can only do one thing, and I don't have to worry about anything else. I don't think he puts him up there, you know, with the Revis or Ty Law in Ty Law's day.
Well, let's put it this way, Fred. The quarterbacks wouldn't be throwing Nnamdi Asamoah's way every week like they were against Devin McCourty last year.
Well, I don't know because
they wouldn't.
Know, Bill might look at when they played the Raiders and how they torched him, you know, and say, this guy's not that good.
But that was Tom. Well, no, that was Matt Castle. But, I mean, I don't see.
Really fixated on the player. I was thinking more of the philosophy.
I just was surprised about the comment. I really don't recall the any torching.
Oh,
anybody,
yeah, they had their way with them. But they made them.
I'm not going to. The way today's going, I'm not going to.
Right.
I'm not denying
this
anything.
This is my day to go with
that,
Paul.
That was also at the end of the year when the Raiders had sucked and pretty
true
much given up on
given
the season.
Up. Sure. You know, but
my greater point was I think the versatility is something Bill puts maybe too much emphasis on at the cost of a guy who does stuff pretty well,
mm-hmm,
whatever it may be, pass rusher, man coverage, whatever. I think the versatility trumps all for Bill.
Yeah. No, and I think you're absolutely right that he does look to be able to game plan, particularly on defense.
Right.
So
he ends up with all these jack-of-all-trades, masters of none.
And they go to the Super Bowl.
in spite of those decisions.
There you go, Freddie.
And wait for it. Lose.
Oh, okay. Well, you know. Wait for it. Come within a catch of winning.
And come within a catch of losing the three other ones.
Right.
And you could have been 0 for 5.
Mm-hmm. All right. I know, because every team gets to the Super Bowl every year. It's very common. All right.
Some team gets there
we'll
every
year. We'll take a break. When we come back, we've got a lot more emails. Phone line, by the way. No one's calling today. I don't know what's going on. Usually we have a lot of calls early.
You just interrupted yourself.
It's okay.
Phone line, by the way, no one calling.
I just glanced over to my Comrex stack.
And they're not stacked?
They're not stacked up. But we have a lot of emails. We'll get to those right after this.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Mmm, these Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Andy, weren't you on that panel?
Yeah, I used to be.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not as disappointed as Andy was.
I got booted. I got Adam Schefter'd.
You got Adam Jones, I think.
Or Adam Jones, or whoever. How did it play out? Was Adam Jones on the panel, or did he host?
No, Adam Jones is on the panel. Trey Wingo.
Oh, that's a joke.
Yeah.
What does he know about the draft?
No.
I'm looking at him right now. What do you know? He's actually looking at me. What do you know? And I just made him stumble a little. His read.
You just made him mess up. I'm listening to him.
He's smirking. I'm making him very uncomfortable.
Does he have a scarf on?
No, but he's still growing that beard. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you.
But overall, it was a positive experience.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Wow.
Relax.
React.
I got to tell you, blowing a gasket over there in that studio. And I remember when he's looking in here, he's like, oh, I threw him off. It's because I hear you screaming in the other studio. Like, I can hear you screaming.
Waving
in the
your
other
arms.
Studio. Waving your arms like a maniac. So, of course, I don't even know if I stumbled. I guess we can go back and listen to the audio, Drew. I would tend to defer on Kevin Collins, who tossed me right under the bus there. But, of course, I'm looking over at their studio because he's waving his arms like a maniac. I don't know, Andy, what can I say? You can only incorrectly predict the Patriots draft pick for so many years in a row before they stop asking you back on the panel. Like, give me a shot at incorrectly predicting who the Patriots are going to take in the draft this season.
You got Adam Jones.
A lot of anger over there in that studio. I'll tell you, next time, Andy, let me know. I'll beg out the thing, because I can tell you, I felt very out of place. I felt very out of place on that thing.
You got Adam Jones.
Schefter, Brewski, Reese, and then there's this weird bearded kid up on the stage. So, no, next time, Andy, let me know. You are welcome to have that panel.
All right. Hey, good show on show crime there. That's good stuff.
Wasn't the beard that made him out of place. It was the lack of knowledge on the NFL and the draft.
But good comeback, though, by him. How many years in a row can you be incorrect and be asked back?
See, anybody who's been to that knows a couple years ago I called Rob Gronkowski the best tight end in the draft, and the second guy I wanted them to draft was Jimmy Graham, who I said would be an NFL star. So anybody who was there knows the two best tight ends in the NFL today would be on Andy Hart's team if anyone let him draft. Thanks, Fred. Go ahead.
And your mic wasn't
too bad. Too bad my mic wasn't on.
Of course, Andy has to take it seriously. But, you know. I really don't think Adam was being serious.
I know he wasn't.
It. But you have to take it to the next level.
Well, he was out of place on that board.
I'm not mad.
Good, Paul.
I'm going to get him, though.
Right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Our lunch buyer today is Locke, previously LT from Adelaide. Now he's going by Locke.
L-O-C-K-E?
He says, and he sends in an email. He says, I'm looking forward to the draft and just wanted to comment on a few things I think the Patriots may be doing this year. Firstly, the rugby guy that Andy references, as always, without knowing much. Just kidding, Andy. The dude, actual name is Jonah Lemieux.
Lemieux!
He would have been a running back in the NFL, but he was 6'5", weighed between 270 and 280,
yeah,
and ran the 100-meter in 10.8 seconds
legit
in high school.
Wow.
Which predicted out to be just under a 4.5 for the 40.
I don't know if there was YouTube back then, but if you can find, when you see this guy, ridiculous.
On to the draft. I would love to see the Patriots draft any of Merciless, Branch, or McClellan at 27. Trade 31 for a second in next year's first. With the 3 second-round picks, a secondary player like Janoris Jenkins, a vertical receiver like Kendall Wright, Reuben Randall, and maybe a safety with the acquired second-round pick. I agree with Paul that it looks like Bill attacked free agency as if it were the late-round draft picks, and I quite like Bill building the depth of the roster through free agency. What he has to do is hit on elite talent in the draft.
Thank you.
And if we can pick 4 starters with the 4 early-round picks and maybe 2 elite talent players, especially at rush linebacker and safety, this would be ideal. I would agree with that. It's pretty tough, though. 4 starters and 4 picks. That's mm-hmm. tough.
Well, when they're that high, though, that you have a better chance of getting
still
a starter.
Tough.
They start out that high. They might not end up.
I'm really disappointed. Fred's missing all his cues today. I'm really disappointed. Go ahead.
All right.
Well, I have something. When you're done, I have a serious issue I want
to
bring
up. To Bill, there was no value in free agency with the elite players because he would have to pay elite money. Whereas he wants to take the chance with less money in the draft. I do get frustrated, however, because I want him to take the best player and take that chance on the elite player in his mind. These shows have been the greatest ever. You guys keep going from strength to strength, from Fred's alpaca story, Andy's watermelon arms, Paul's acrobatics, and Eric's vacation. You guys are brilliant, and I hope you enjoy the lunch all the way from Australia.
We good do. Good day, mate. We do. It's very, very good.
Yep. Excellent. Thank you, Locke.
Okay, now I want to delve into something that he brought up and Paul has brought up, that the depth in free agency has to do with the lack of late-round picks and filling out, you know, bodies or roster, whatever. I think that's flawed because the guys they're bringing in are Jags. Okay, Bobby Carpenter, you brought him in to be, you know, your
depth.
And he's theoretically, if this is what we're talking about, he's going to be playing in the third and fourth quarter of preseason games. You know what Bobby Carpenter is. He's been in the league 6 years. He's not what he was supposed to be. So there's no upside. So what's the positive? You brought in a veteran Jag, but who will probably look okay in the third and fourth quarter of preseason
games.
This
is where you might be wrong. He isn't what he was supposed to be. But what is he now? And what he is now could be perfect for the Patriots for depth. He never
lived up to it. No, but my point is, if you bring in Gary Guyton in the fourth quarter of a preseason game, or Dane Fletcher, you might go, oh, son of a bitch, this guy can play a little bit. This guy could be on my team for the next 5 years, maybe be a backup linebacker, maybe start 24 games over 2 years like Gary Guyton did, be a starter last. Bobby Carpenter, I find it hard to believe after, whatever, 5 teams and 6 years with a total of 3 sacks and 10 starts, that suddenly he's going to become this great player that is going to have any value.
But see, that's not the point. No, he's not going to become a great player.
Okay.
All these other teams wanted him to. Maybe Bill is taking him in as thinking, you know, I want him to play a certain role, and if he can do that, and I'm not
Andy's point is what makes him any different than...
I'd rather have Dane Fletcher.
Yeah,
I'd rather have
exactly.
Gary Guyton, who not only do I think can probably play that role in the third and fourth quarter of preseason games.
They can potentially do it as starters
who
if
knows?
You need them.
You might get something out of it.
I understand your point wholeheartedly, but I disagree with your specifics. I wouldn't rather have Gary Guyton.
I wouldn't
rather have Jeff Tarpinian. Maybe Dane Fletcher, I'll say, okay. I think he's showing a little flash.
I mean, you wouldn't rather have had Gary Guyton when you had him, which became a guy who started all 16 games for you?
No, but just because he started 16, I mean,
right.
Tracy White started the Super Bowl.
Right.
I wouldn't have those guys.
No, it wasn't. It was by choice. When a guy starts 16 games, it's a choice. When a guy starts 4, it's necessity. There's a difference. You don't, and the guy started, by the way, 24 games.
Yeah.
So it was by necessity but, 1 year? And then it was also a necessity the next year when you had a whole offseason to fix it.
But whether and for whatever the reason, the point is that on this team, Bobby Carpenter could be better than Guyton would have been. And that's an upgrade. Because we're not expecting him to be challenging.
There's no ceiling. The ceiling has been set. He's a Jag in the NFL. He's been cut, traded, let go. I mean, everything.
He's not what people wanted him to be. No doubt.
No, but my argument is he's not ever going to be anything more than what he is right now. 6 years in, you don't
but
get
what
the year
he is
seven
right
jump
now
that
might
Paul
be
likes.
Perfect for the Patriots in terms of depth. Huh? What he is right now could be perfect for the Patriots in terms of depth.
Okay, so you don't want a guy with upside.
No, every guy on
my
the team,
point
Andy,
is,
can't be like that. You got to have the Jags, too.
I actually thought Belichick was the one who said, you're always improving. If not, then it might be time to go in a different direction. I thought that's how he built a roster. And I think that's why Gary Guyton, by the way, who's part of this discussion, is no longer with us.
You're missing the point. In this role, he could flourish, Bobby Carpenter.
What role?
In a backup. You know,
in the fourth quarter of preseason games, my guess is first-round pick will flourish. You're right, Fred. No. I think he'll flourish.
What would your definition of flourish be? Because I think I'm somewhere right in the middle of you
he
two
He comes
guys.
In and contributes in certain – makes some key plays.
So you think
certain,
he's going to make the team?
I think he has a shot, sure.
I think there's a better chance he doesn't even make the team.
Me too.
But I but I do – but
that's my point. He's a wasted guy.
I think Dane Fletcher's
when,
a better
when
player
Gary Guyton
point.
Was playing
Tarpini
a lot of games –
made the team? I mean, you know
– Yeah.
And all of us
so
were shocked because he didn't do
him.
Anything all preseason.
I think that he probably has more talent than Tarpinian, but that doesn't mean he's better than him.
And he has
Patriots.
To have a future. Bill will keep the guy who might have a future over the guy who has no future.
If
that's my
close,
point.
If well, it's close, he's probably not going to make it. That's the point. But I think that we can get bogged down, too. I don't think Gary Guyton was Bill's ideal guy when he was playing.
No, don't
when
fixate
he was,
on any of the specifics, no, but Bobby Carpenter or Gary Guyton. I'm talking about the idea that all these Jags, like Dante Stallworth, who's had, or Anthony Gonzalez. For all I know, Bill is using your theory. I don't have these picks, so I'm not bringing in guys late.
Well, I think that's why he
but
brought
there's
in
no
so,
upside.
I think that's why he's bringing in so many. Is he's usually.
But what do you learn? What do I learn if Anthony Gonzalez can catch a pass from Ryan Mallett in the fourth quarter of a preseason game?
But don't you put them out there in other situations
right.
to see what they can
yes,
do in regular?
I know, but.
And I mean, almost, you're making it.
I just don't see the upside with all. If
I agree with you, the
my upside,
upside.
I'd rather have more undrafted players.
See, I think the upside is
see, I wouldn't.
Overall, you're raising the floor. Maybe you're not raising the ceiling. I agree with that, but you're raising the floor. Maybe.
You know what? I can't wait.
Well,
that's
what
the
you
floor
have
to be over, so I don't have to talk about
floors,
floors
and
ceilings.
No, but that's the point. That is, you know, that's
Fred
the point.
And I are like this. We got the floor.
You know,
we got the ceiling.
You're raising the floor.
Oh,
of the
I get
team,
it.
And
I just don't
that,
like it.
And if
are
you
though?
And if you can do that economically, well, I don't know.
Maybe.
And I think that's what he's trying to do.
Maybe the floor is stuck.
You know, it can't be. The floor is never stuck.
But
you know,
listen, if you bring in undrafted guys, you don't know where the ceiling is. You know where the ceiling is with Dante Stallworth and Anthony Gonzalez and Bobby Carpenter.
But I also don't think they're all the same. I don't think they're all the same.
I
don't
think
they're
all the same.
But I feel like because they brought in so many guys, I think he's looking at some of these guys like fifth and sixth round picks and seventh round picks. I'm going to throw them into the mix and see if they can play in this system and maybe provide something for us, you know, more than an undrafted free agent. The one thing that I wholeheartedly agree with Andy on in this, and which is contradictory to the way most of the analysis we've read about all of these guys, I don't see the upside that people are writing about. Low risk, high reward. I don't see the high reward with almost all of these guys. If all of these guys pan out, I think that the best you can hope for is a serviceable player who makes the roster. People are writing about these guys like, well, there's some untapped potential. Bobby Carpenter has not been untapped potential. He hasn't been as good as we all thought he was. There's a big difference between those two things.
Sure.
Bobby Carpenter has played extensively in a system very similar to this one.
But
and has not been able to be an impact player.
I'll go back to
that means he's not good enough to be an impact player.
I'll go back to what Bill Parcells said and probably what Bill Belichick learned from him is that players need to know their role. They need to know who they are. And it's when players try to be something other than what they are.
Right.
That's when they run.
So don't tell me that the upside is anything more than filler.
It isn't.
Andy's point.
But I think with some of these guys, including Bobby Carpenter, there's plenty of tape on him now. You know, the Patriots, you know, in their scouting, the pro scouting, look at it and go, okay, he's never going to be what people thought he was going to be. But in certain roles, he could be really good for our team. And I think that's it. That's it. Yeah. That's all you're hoping for a guy like
that. I also don't agree with the role thing. I don't think training camp is a time where everybody's supposed to know their role. No, I think training camp is a time where everybody on the roster is supposed to be aspiring to the spot above them.
But you're not finding out about Bobby Carpenter. You know what he is.
Exactly, and he knows what he is.
There's a ton of evidence.
So what are you getting out of him in the third or fourth quarter of a preseason game?
No, but what are you getting him out of in a third and fourth of a regular season game? Maybe a lot more than a Gary Guyton.
He's going to be on the roster.
Well, maybe not, but if this guy can play a certain role for you and he's comfortable in that, he accepts it, his experience and, his athleticism, maybe he is better than
Gary Guyton.
And
that's also another issue I have, accepting the role. And I think you're right. I think there's a chance he accepts his role, and that's not good for a training camp to me. I'm not sure it's good to have all these old receivers going against these corners. I kind of wouldn't mind having Julian Edelman trying to scrap it out there competitively.
I think it's interesting.
That's my point here, I think there's an interesting dynamic at play here with all these guys brought in that I'm not sure breeds the best training camp competition that you might theoretically, like we talked about, there will be big names in the third group of receivers,
mm-hmm.
but are they all brother-lawing it because they've been in the league 6, 8, 10 years and... I'm just collecting a paycheck. I mean, I've caught 5 passes in the last 3 years. Let's be honest, my career's on the way down. I don't know if that's going to get the same effort as some kid out of Navy would give you, who's not physically as gifted, wasn't a first-round pick, but is going balls to the wall, Raven Trump style on every play.
Well, they still have like 30 slots they have to fill. Those guys will come.
But the whole idea was these guys are replacing some of the late-round picks. I might just want to have replaced those with a couple more undrafted guys.
Well, I think
that's 5th, 6th, and 7th. Give me the Jag out of Montana State.
But there's plenty of room for those guys yet. I mean,
but there's less room than you would normally have.
No, aren't they going to 90 in training camp this year?
They haven't maybe. Voted
they
on that.
They haven't voted
that's
on it.
That's at the end of one of those things
but
they put
the,
off.
The other part that
maybe they're
I find
counting
interesting,
on
Andy,
that fact.
We've been talking about some of this stuff. Eric brought up, is there any kind of untold message or anything? We all agree on Bobby Carpenter, even Fred. Probably not going to be what we all thought he was. But might he look at that and say, okay, here's a guy with a first-round pick pedigree. He's been in the NFL for a while. Might be a good message for Brandon Spikes. We need you on the field. We need you at practice during training camp every day. We need you out there because now, unlike Gary Guyton, we have a guy who can take your place. Now, Bill might not think that Bobby Carpenter can take his place, but Spikes might.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because Spikes looks at it on paper. This is a guy who's got a better pedigree than I do.
Yeah.
Maybe that sort of acts as motivation, like Eric talked about with the wide receivers. Bill might look at it, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I mean,
well, Bill probably
has
say we're overanalyzing this. I saw a guy; he's got a this and a
man.
That.
Right,
right, right.
I'm sure Bill would.
And that
be
is
like,
the way Bill looks.
You guys
at
spend
it.
An entire hour talking about that.
No, but they,
Bill,
but,
it's the off season. We do this twice
right,
a week.
Right.
It's 2 hours.
I think you're right, but I think Paul. I think every team tries to create as much competition as camp as possible.
And individually, I see what Paul's saying.
That's my point about that individual play.
Right.
It seems like the general theory is. He's gone for depth, competition, and replaced some of those late-round picks through free agency, through second- and third-tier free agency. I'm not sure it's an ideal philosophy.
But it might be out of necessity this year, Andy, because, we all...
But it's not, because you can sign undrafted players.
No, I know, but we all
it's
think...
It's only three people, 5th, 6th, 7th.
We all think that he's going to, trade down and fill some of those slots, but they honestly don't know what's going to happen in the draft. They think they have a plan of, if this happens, here's my plan B, plan C, but they don't know, because... They're dependent on 31 other teams. So I think, hey, these guys are available now. Let's not wait. Let's get them in here, and, we'll see what happens after that.
Sure.
Bobby Carpenter may not make the team. You might be right. But he's available now. Let's get him.
Right. But just like the sixth-round pick might not make the team.
Right. But now they don't have one
rookie.
Now.
But I totally agree with Andy on the fact that I would rather have an undrafted rookie A, because he's cheaper, and B, because I don't know what he is yet.
You might get a Dane Fletcher.
I might be able to get a riser.
It. They've gotten one every year, so
at least one. Yeah.
I think those guys will be
one.
Here as well.
Point. Yeah. As opposed to just, we're going to keep Jeff Tarpinian
because
I don't know, we like his last name.
I think just because they signed these guys doesn't mean they're not going to be bringing in the undrafted guys too.
No, I know. I was talking more about the philosophy that the emailer brought up, that these guys are replacing late-round picks, undrafted, whatever.
That was Paul's philosophy.
Okay, so I'll rip Paul then.
we talked about it.
I think on one level, that's a sound philosophy. It's a sound theory. On the other level, I don't think it's the best theory. I don't think I want a lot of veterans playing late.
It's our theory. It's not necessarily theirs.
It's not, and I want to. But it's also fact that they're going to be experienced guys with resumes playing late in preseason games or, you know, third group practices out here, the way the roster is set up.
I just feel like, listen, this is what their philosophy in free agency generally is. They don't go after marquee names.
Right.
They go after a lot of mid-level guys. I just think they've gotten more of them this year.
Right. And why?
13 guys.
And why?
And I think it's because they're trying to make up for their lack of mid-level
drafts.
Guys later in the
right.
draft that they're going to get. Mm-hmm. Now, like a guy like Marquise Cole, who's a younger guy, that's an undrafted free agent.
Sure.
That's a seventh-round pick. You know, Bobby Carpenter probably isn't the ideal example for my whole draft replacement theory.
I mean, he's clearly going with what you said. I mean, his comments were, there's no better place to find one thing you do and they maximize it. That's what he's going with. That's a good theory and all. And I'm not sure it's fact. I mean, he's a special teamer at this point. That's what he is.
Well, you need special teamers, too.
Well, to be fair, special teamers generally start on defense here, so.
They did last year. Right?
Fred's got about 6.5 sacks this year.
Let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Joe is in Pennsylvania. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great. Hey, Joe.
Good. Hey, something different from the draft and free agency and everything. I think when people look at Belichick, and if I'm wrong, definitely call me on this, has there been a coach / GM who's lasted as long as he has right now in the league?
Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Andy Reid.
1 year longer, right. Yeah. Well,
yeah, it's okay. Neck and neck. But
and then it's Marvin Lewis is after that, I believe.
Technically,
third.
He's not the GM, though, of the
now,
Eagles.
You guys were saying
well,
about...
Neither is Bill technically the GM of the Patriots.
But they have a guy with the GM title in the Eagles,
yeah,
Joe
they do.
Manor.
What's Casario's title?
Now, director of player personnel.
You were saying about, you know, enough of the versatility. Not enough
they
of
both
it,
have
but
the same
sometimes
say, though.
It's overvalued. I think part of the reason that is, and this is Bill, not as a football coach, as a GM guy, is... You have to deal with the salary cap. And, I mean, I think the Eagles are going to run into problems with all the contracts they signed last year and, you know, making these guys happy. But, you know, if your middle group of guys, if you're, you know, let's say 25 through 45 guys are just, you know, they can do more than one thing. You know, Troy Brown strips, you know, a ball and we ended up going to the Super Bowl. And, you know, you get these guys and Julian Edelman steps in and makes some decent plays or you get these undrafted guys from other practice squads and all that. I think in salary cap era, you have to do that. I think teams that struggle don't do that enough.
On one level, I would agree with you. But, I mean, I just get back to when I hear that, how bad the defense was last year.
Yeah.
I don't think their backups and bottom of the roster guys were great. The defense sucked. The guys that came in sucked. They had to bring guys in off the street with regularity during, you know, the defensive backfield.
Yeah. The problem last year was is our number two guys and our number four guys, there was no difference.
Right.
Yeah.
And the number one guys weren't that great.
And the number one guys, you know.
Mario Williams.
But I agree with your theory in the past. Like, you know, there's been, you know, Artrell Hawkins or there's been these guys that you think are just Jags and then end up playing reasonably big roles for the team. And a lot of teams don't have a guy like that coming in who solidified, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think last year was a good example of that. And maybe Bill's trying to fix that. Maybe he aired somewhere in the defensive depth last year, and he realizes.
Well,
that.
Yeah, I mean that was a big shakeup. That was almost preseason and in season shakeup to that whole defensive backfield. I don't think they anticipated that.
Two thirds of your starters or whatever.
They got a little bit lucky with James Ahedebo, in that he was a guy who hadn't really been a regular starter, but was able to start regularly for this defense. Partly out of necessity,
right?
Partly because he did make some plays.
He wasn't as bad as Sergio Brown.
Exactly. So, and you're not going to get that every year. You're not going to get that lucky every year with a guy like that. Who's, you know, another
and
team
you're not
going
to have the shakeup that they had every year. This was an odd year when it came to the defensive backfield.
But I don't know that they spend any money. Sure, they want to have a stronger 40 through 53 or 33 through 53. Everybody in that area is making no money. They're all making minimum. Whether the minimum is $385 because you're a rookie or $585 because you're a third-year player, right?
Yeah, I guess what I was trying to say was, like, when you have guys, you know, like Logan holding out and then you have Vince with the contract and all, I mean, these aren't necessarily the highest-paid guys at their position, but they don't want to lose their
contract. Yes, they are.
To me,
both of those guys are.
No,
well,
but,
were
but
when they
me,
signed
well,
their contracts.
Yeah, I mean, but to me, it's almost like you don't have to win a poker game by winning every hand. You just have to win the most important hands. And to them, it's not always about, like, you know, like, would they love to have DeMarcus Ware? Yeah. Do they want to pay him $12 million a year? No, because then that takes away. But if I can get by with whatever, and I know that comes back to bite you, but as long as your other pieces like Tom Brady and like Wes Welker and hopefully a Devin McCourty and Gerard Mayo and all that, as long as those guys are in your pocket, then you can kind of be a little bit more flexible with your mid-level guys.
That's true. I mean, and we've seen it. The results bear it out.
I think they would pay a guy like DeMarcus Ware $12
million. Well, yeah. I mean, Bill pretty much said that had they been in position to take him, they would have taken him.
But I also think that it's a great system when you have the best coach and quarterback. We'll find out what happens. You know, when that coach and quarterback leave, we'll find out.
Yeah, but who do the Eagles not have the money to pay? Every time I look, they're doing what they need to do. They gave DeShaun Jackson $55 million.
Yeah,
you're right. And the problem,
matter of fact, the Eagles have been very, very similar.
They went 8-8 and didn't win their division. Whereas we had injuries, we plugged in guys from the street, and we were one.
The Eagles didn't go 8-8 because of injuries last year. The Eagles had all kinds of problems.
Right,
Jets-like problems. Matter of fact, they're very similar. They both went 8-8.
I would go beyond Jet-like problems. They made their offensive line coach a defensive coordinator. He brought a defense in that no one could play, and they didn't have the players to play it.
You know, and one of their quality players decided to quit in the middle of the season.
You're right.
And by the way,
it had nothing to do with salary cap issues and injuries.
And they have quarterback who is what they've signed up for. And I mean, we all told them this.
It was different. I mean, they were thinking of – the fans wanted to fire Andy Reid, for crying out loud.
Well, that was our game.
Had a bad
part year. Of that was the hype,
and I
though.
Think Andy Reid's a good, solid coach. And I think there's a lot of similarities to the way Andy Reid does things to the way Bill does.
Well,
that's probably why that
the
they
franchises
deal so much.
Are very similar.
I think that they operate their systems very similarly.
The big
similarly.
Difference is Bill always had the best quarterback. Reid has never had the best quarterback. He had a guy that everybody tried to make sound like a Hall of Famer in McNabb, who wasn't. And now he's got a guy that, his bed with this guy, Michael Vick. He made his bed with him.
Right.
And I know that he's older now, and part of this is circumstantial and just getting older, but what's Donovan McNabb done without Andy Reid holding his hand?
Right.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
He's terrible.
The other part that kind of gets me is, like, you were talking about how they're very similar. The small differences are the way that Bill gets those middle-of-the-road guys that – He almost, not that he prepares for it, but you almost expect every year in baseball, pitchers are going to get hurt. Guys are going to need days off. In football, guys are going to get injured. As long as you have what you feel is your best behind you or as good as you can do with what you have, then you can go be successful. And last year, the Eagles, and for a while, I think the Eagles haven't done it, and the Patriots have.
Okay.
Yeah. Joe, I don't know if I really buy it.
Thanks, Joe. Joe is from Pennsylvania, and he's on top of it. We're always looking for area scouts.
Yeah, but we also get back to the issue is when you give a guy crap and the guy is the best head coach, Bill Belichick, he's going to do more with that crap. So is the guy better or is he getting better coaching and better game plan?
I don't think Andy Reid's as good a coach as Bill Belichick. State that, you know, pretty clearly. But
ever since I saw him drunk in the elevator at the combine,
I make this overly simplistic.
Swaying back and forth.
I just feel like it's very easy to make all these comments when you have the best coach and quarterback. And, you know, other teams don't.
That's true.
No, you know, it helps cover up a lot of your ills.
Yep. I just don't buy the whole it's one of the myths of the Patriot era. The whole, you know, they pay their middle class and this and what are you talking about?
I think that they try to have
I think they overpay their middle class and then they cut them later. Their names are Tully Bantakane and James Sanders
and I think they
give too much money to.
That's a mistake. Every team makes
them. I think the one thing that they do a little differently than some teams, I won't say all teams, is they try to have a couple to a handful of veteran guys that they have as core special teamers. And as such, they make a little more. Because as a fifth-year guy, like Tracy White or Matthew Slater now is getting into that sort of veteran status, second contract. A lot of teams, I think, just fill out their special teams with their rookies. And they're young players that don't make any money. I think the Patriots try to have a few, but overall, I agree with Andy.
Have you researched that, though? Even that, I wonder if it's true.
No,
it's a great myth, and we know they do it.
Listen, this
but
has been
other
the show.
Teams have Pro
this
Bowl
has been
special
the show
teamers.
That I've been flying by the seat of my pants. Maybe you're right. Maybe
I mean, there's
maybe
been plenty of
it.
Famous special teamers who
I hate the whole undrafted free agent thing. I despise that. You know, like no other team has undrafted free agents except for the Patriots.
But I think it gets back to our – I know it's lame and it's cliche and it's –
whatever, trite, as Eric would say, but the best coach, best quarterback,
Trumps.
The best coach,
Trumps.
But even the best
That's
coach
how you win
part,
the poker game to steal Joe's
The philosophy
line.
Of, okay, the undrafted free agents, well, they're being coached in the scheme by the best coach, or the middle class. James Sanders, he might have never seen the field on another team, and maybe he got great coaching that put him in only the position where he could play. He lasted a year in Atlanta. He might be out of the league after a year in Arizona, right?
You know, we often say things like, well, geez, the Patriots must know what they're doing because how many of their personnel decisions have really come back to haunt them? I mean, you can count them on one hand, the guys that have left New England and been really productive elsewhere. Well, part of that is the players weren't that good. But when they were here, they were productive. Why is that?
Because of the coaching.
Because of the coach. Not the coaching. The coach. He's the best.
Larry is in Miami. You hey, right? Larry.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Nothing much. How you doing?
Comes and goes.
Good. I'll just call in and chime in on a couple of things.
Okay.
First of all, just like I was talking about, you know, getting free agents, you know, undrafted free agents. I feel like we should do that because getting these veterans, yeah, they all right, but they being a part of their career, that's not, I don't see that it could help our team. And I was looking towards the draft, and I was like, if we could come out with Mark Barron and Janoris Jenkins, I feel like that's going to be a pretty good for the back end of our defense, and then we get pass rushers, and then, you know, probably a receiver, a younger receiver, because all the receivers that we have, they're all, like, 30 years old. So I feel like, you know, that's what Bill should do this draft. Just get those two. If we could get at least one of them, and then we get some pass rushers, we should be all right.
Well, okay. Yeah, the problem is any pass rusher they – oh, yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. And one more thing, I was like, for the value pick, though, not a lot of people have been talking about him. Chase Minifield from Virginia, if they can get him in the late rounds, probably in the third round, probably, that would be pretty good because he was considered as one of the top corners. But, you know, his school and just fell off the map, but still considered the top 10, I believe.
Well, you know, your first two guys you mentioned, that would be good. Those guys would be able possibly to contribute right away. The problem with getting a pass rusher after that is this isn't a great draft for pass rushers. Last year, if they decided, well, maybe we'll sneak into the second round and get one, they would have been okay.
They would have had a guy with 6.5 sacks as a rookie.
This year, I don't know if you're going to find the answer after round.
Yeah, I think I think we're all on the same wavelength in terms of what the Patriots need. They need some playmakers on defense, whether it be in the back end or the front end. But it's going to be hard to get all of those things for the reasons that Eric said. If you focus on the secondary early, chances are you're not getting a pass rusher that figures to impact you immediately unless you get lucky.
Well, you could argue that two of their bigger needs, safety and pass rusher, are not two of the better positions in this draft.
Well, that's Eric's point.
But, I mean, the two of them, literally your two biggest needs, I would argue, are those.
Because I think
it's a
after,
bad year to have
after
them.
Barron, I don't think there's going to be too many safeties in there that are going to immediately help you. I don't.
He may be the only starting safety in the class.
No,
that's literally one starting safety for 32 teams.
I would take Harrison Smith on my team. I would take some of the other guys as mid to later round picks. Trenton Robinson is one. The kid from Boise State, Iloka, is another. But I don't think those guys are going to come in and help you right away. Mark Barron, I think, is the only guy that can come in and help you right away, potentially.
They'll be better than Sergio Brown.
Bill from Eddington, Maine, writes in, one thing that you emphasized greatly was getting a playmaker on defense rather than depth, because we have depth. I agree with depth at most positions except defensive back. We are incredibly sparse there. Any defensive back that you have your eye on through free agency or the draft? Well, we just mentioned Mark Barron.
Mark Barron, Janoris Jenkins, Stephon
Gilmore.
I mean, there's certainly corners in
this
draft.
Who's the Coastal Carolina kid we were talking about today?
Josh Norman.
I like him. The corner is a position you can get later in the draft.
There are some deep
corner draft. It's safety that there's one or two.
There's not a lot of high-end corners that jump off the page. Like, this is a Darrell Revis shutdown type, but there's a lot of good corners in the draft.
But Darrell Revis
wasn't considered
Revis.
That. Nope.
What is he, this 15th, 16th pick?
15th, I want to say.
I mean, he wasn't a top five, top eight pick like Claiborne.
He wasn't regarded like Peterson.
No, And Peterson wasn't as good as everybody thought he was.
Also, speaking of defensive backs, what are the chances that Razai Dowling...
Anything subjective you're on top of.
What are the chances that Razai Dowling makes it through an entire season this year? If Razai doesn't get healthy and contribute soon, I'm going to fly out there and give Razai the red eye. And the red eye is when you moon someone and then spread your cheeks.
Oh.
Give him the red eye.
With me, it's the brown eye.
Lastly...
TJ, too.
Actually, you're a spitting cobra.
I don't get it.
Lastly, Fred, I was devastated when you said you were going to give up on the alpaca farm. I don't have the money to invest in buying you guys lunch, but I might be able to contribute to the alpaca cause. Well, that's all you need is $10,000, buddy.
Buddy. Chief.
Pal.
It's a little bit more expensive than
lunch.
Did
you try to finance it? Go to the bank, sit down with a business plan. I'm going to buy alpacas.
You're getting what? let's see. What else we got here? Let's go back to the phones.
Back to the phones.
And up to the Windy City. Kat is on the line. Hey, Kat.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah. Hey, Kat.
So I have some late-round pass rush guys or potential guys.
Okay, fire away.
Just based on combine, I'm wondering what you guys think.
Okay, bring it.
The first is Cam Johnson.
He's an interesting guy out of Virginia. You know, he has some experience playing outside linebacker, has some experience playing in Al Groh's system from a couple of years ago, which is obviously the same as Belichick's. An interesting guy, not necessarily considered a dynamic pass rusher, though.
Really good in the edge rush drills.
You're correct. You're right. He's a good athlete, Kat, and you're right. He does kind of look the part, but he hasn't been overly productive in that role. What's he considered, like a fourth or fifth round guy? Where's he slated?
Third or fourth.
Third or fourth. Yeah, he's a guy I actually spoke, really soft-spoken.
You talked
kid.
To him at the combine, right?
Yeah, that's why I remembered him.
I'm wondering if these guys are guys that, you know, you were just talking about, we get guys into the system who aren't great in other places, but with coaching, we can coach them up. So I'm kind of looking for these later round depth guys that maybe, you know, have the athletic ability that they could be coached up to, you know, perform above their college level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a theory that the organization uses, too. And
yeah.
not to be, you know, don't take this the wrong way. I think that's how you end up with Jermaine Cunningham. And you get little production out of it because you spend too much time trying to jam a round peg into a square hole. So
well, especially when that guy's in that case, that guy's head coach didn't even think
but
he
that's,
was going to.
But that's
be
part
able
of it. Oh
up.
Well, I'm bet I can coach him up, and he'll be better than that here because I'll do X, Y, and Z.
He's an interesting guy, though. He's a guy that I put an asterisk next to after talking to him.
And he has the numbers that Bill looks for.
Yeah, he's like 6'3", not quite 6'4".
Yeah, it's 6'3 and three quarters, 267, so rounded up to 270 or down to 265.
He's like a 4'7", 4'8".
Yeah.
Little slow, but he does have some experience doing those things in a system that's similar to what the Patriots do.
Okay, so then I got another one for you.
Okay.
So this guy I thought... Again, I don't have access to all the college tape or all of that, but I watched the combine. Jake Beckett, I thought he looked a little bit Vrabel-esque at the combine, and I was kind of intrigued by him.
Kid from Arkansas. Yeah, and I like his versatility. He's played on both sides of the line and has just that sense of, you know, just getting to the quarterback. He has that intangible that I kind of liked. I liked his tape a lot, actually.
Yeah, I wasn't as high on him. I think he's an NFL special teamer. I thought he did nothing. He's the perfect Patriot because I don't think he jumps off the board in any way.
That is such that
size,
such faint praise.
I know.
He damns with faint
quickness
all the time.
Honestly, I don't think anything. I think he works hard. You look at him, he's got a pretty
high
good motor.
Guy.
Gets to the quarterback a little bit, but I always assume a guy takes a step down at the next level. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but most time you assume he's not going to be quite as good. The matchup's not going to be quite as beneficial to him, and
he did play against SEC competition, though.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's Markell Carter, who's, you know, playing against 1AA competition.
He won't stop. Yeah,
he's productive.
He was productive, and I think Andy's right. He had a high – I mean, I know it's a cliche for a guy who's like Vrabel. I mean, he's a high-motor guy. He was relentless. And I do think he has the potential possibly to stand up and play outside.
Oh, yeah. He's been doing at Pro Day. I know a lot of teams worked him out, think he could be a 3-4 guy. He's in the range of the numbers, a little slower, 4-8 kind of guy, a little heavier at 275-ish than might be, you know, the ideal in the 260, 265 range. He'll get a look as a 3-4 outside linebacker, edge rusher. And with his motor, as I said, I think he's got a lock to be a special teamer. I think he can be a successful special teamer. And maybe, you know, Bill always says, if you're good at special teams, well, now you're on the game day roster, and now maybe you're in some pass rushing opportunities. You know, maybe he'll get some chances there.
All right, Kat, thanks for the call.
Two interesting prospects, though, Kat.
Yeah,
call back
anytime, girl.
That kind of spot that you're talking about in the draft. Andy's very intrigued, too. So.
By Kat.
By you.
Yeah,
by
you. Craig writes
She's
in.
Quite the pussy, Kat.
He says, what a weird day this has been. Jesus. Got to work and they laid us all off.
Oh, that's too bad.
Wow. That took a downer.
I turn on PFW and Andy is apologizing. I have officially entered the Twilight Zone.
And don't have a job.
Didn't get to it the other day.
Wait a minute. How did they lay everybody off? Did the company go out of business?
I guess so.
I need more. Who's
Unless
this from?
It's his department or something.
Who's this from?
Craig.
From the billing department?
No.
Craig Bunce?
Crazy Craig from Canada.
Oh.
Was Canadian. It doesn't work for Sony. I saw Sony laid off a bunch of people today. 10,000.
I didn't get to it the other day, but would you trade our 31st pick and 93rd pick for Ed Reed? Doubt Baltimore would do it, but it seems like a Belichick move.
I wouldn't
at this point.
Maybe you get a year out of Ed Reed.
No one likes Ed Reed more than Belichick, but I'm not sure he gives up a first round pick.
Talking retirement, banged up.
No. For sure.
Okay.
Would you, Fred? You didn't weigh in, would you?
No.
When he weighs in, it's pretty significant.
Oh, yeah, it's relentless.
I think Ed might
Three sports, Andy. Three sports.
Yep. Ed's not taking the same stuff that Ray's taking, whatever that is.
I don't think Ed ever took anything.
Yeah.
Ed is, I think, very cerebral, I think.
And
he's a very unique guy.
And he's very fast. He's an athletic
guy. No. I think he was a natural athlete, but I never said, oh, he's ripped. He's suspect in any way. I think he's a great natural athlete with great instincts and a heady football player. But I also think off the field, he's kind of cerebral and a little, I think he's a different character. The beard.
Yeah.
That whole beard look.
Makes him look like he's in his 60s.
The beard.
I remember reading a story about how he hangs out at some nursing home.
You're insane.
What?
I'm convinced.
He befriended like a nursing home and he goes there and plays like chess with old men. Like he's not your average
not the people in it.
No,
people
the nursing
in it.
Home. Well, you know, as a group, he kind of became like a guy. You know,
just stands out in front of the sign.
Look it up.
Who's he yelling at?
But do you think all the other guys out of the U go to nursing homes and play chess with guys?
I'm not denying your information, just the manner in which you
presented it. You can't befriend a whole nursing home? I mean, he didn't pick out one guy. He goes there to hang out with all the people in the nursing home. So he befriended a nursing home.
Okay, I'm in.
People.
He just likes
to win.
The people in the nursing home. Yes. Maybe he likes to win.
How do you know he's winning?
Senile ones.
Brent from Illinois.
Wait a minute. It's my move again. Oh, you already went.
Brent from Illinois. A couple complaints about the last show. First,
it was our best ever, so you can't complain.
Why no update on Eric's vacation and if he met a girl or guy?
Because he didn't.
Second, no England update from Eric. And third, no crazy off-season argument. Well, we had some other stuff.
Did we not have an argument?
What did you do during your vacation?
I did a lot of stuff around the house, around the home.
Puttered around.
I had to putter.
A staycation?
It was a staycation.
But we did not.
Or was it a...
No, it wasn't, Andy.
Can we get back to...
You don't even know what I was thinking.
Yes, I know what you were thinking. Everybody knows what you were thinking.
A paint-cation.
No, that's not what you were thinking.
All right, you're right. It was gay-cation.
You didn't have to say it. Everybody knew what you were thinking.
We had no argument on Tuesday. Has that ever happened?
I don't know. I don't remember one show to the next.
He almost didn't remember he was here on Tuesday.
Yeah, you could have talked me into either one.
By the way, why hasn't the Herald changed the name of the crap sheet to something better? Is it still called that?
I don't know.
They better change it soon.
Actually, these shows...
I would have to go to it to know that they changed the name.
Who cares anyway?
These shows have been good. I'm looking forward to the draft to see if I will be shocked more by the players picked early than I was last year, than I was the year before. And one quick question, have you guys seen or heard about the alternate jerseys and what they'll look like this year?
I hope they're exactly the same as they were.
I believe they are. Isn't it Pat Patriot?
It's the 85s, right?
I would imagine.
Whatever
the red,
year that is.
Yeah, it was 85.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we unveil it on our website? Isn't that what Nike said we were going to do?
But if they're not changing it, there's nothing to unveil.
Well, we didn't they change just the regular ones, and Nike unveiled those.
I think the rest of the league differ.
I don't know, but the rest of the league, there were some minor changes, so they just did everybody's at once.
Well, we did. We all slap a swoosh over the Reebok symbol.
Yeah. We were the only team that didn't have any changes.
No, Green Bay.
Did most of them not have any changes?
No, Green Bay said absolutely no changes to their uniforms. I don't think Pittsburgh changed theirs.
No. Yeah. And we were one of the nine teams, I think, Fred, that didn't do the fly wire necks, right?
That big long V thing.
Yeah. I had questions about that anyway.
You think it's going to cut somebody's head off?
Well,
there's actually wire in it.
Well, they call it fly wire, whatever that is. So it could be like thicker than monofilament, like on a fly rod.
What? I'm out.
It's going to be good on a fly rod. Like fly line is like it's a thicker cord, but it's made out of. Not string. It's made out of
like a synthetic fiber.
Yeah, synthetic. Maybe that's what it is. The whole idea.
But what's the point of it?
But when they pull it, it doesn't stretch and go over the shoulder pad.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
Wait,
in English, please.
I think fly wire is a Nike term.
Right.
I don't think
it's made out of fly fishing wire.
No. I'm just saying
it's what they
call it fly wire. Yeah.
In other words,
like the Lunar brand.
I don't think it's metal wire. I don't think it's metal wire.
But you were concerned that it could.
Well, because
it could
somebody.
Hurt. Well, yeah,
right.
if it's not going to stretch, it's something has to give, and
right.
It's going to be probably the player's hand, no?
Right, or something, or it's going to go
neck.
Into his neck.
Yeah, so and you could garrot somebody if you pulled the jersey.
Garrot?
It's French. I just almost swore.
It's French.
What does that mean?
Cutting a throat.
Garrot, when you have a wire, and you choke somebody with a wire, that's called
you
garrot.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In
something
English,
we can
please.
Try after the show.
I'd be happy to. Come on over.
So, but there's got to be a reason why nine teams said no, we're not doing that.
Well, we say no to everything, to be fair.
Well, but it might be a design thing. They might just not have liked the design.
Or maybe Broch thought it was going to cut somebody's neck off.
But or that
it,
too.
Does it even change the design? I thought it was interior. I thought it was, you can't
I
see
I think
it.
Part of it, well, the
we're having an argument where no one knows anything.
No one knows. No
literally,
one
how
one
is that
no
different
idea.
Than any other argument we
knows
have?
Knows anything.
No idea.
Should we get Don Brocher on?
All I know is that if it doesn't stretch, then there
something's
has to be
give,
some type
yeah.
of thing inside
right.
there to keep it from stretching.
Immovable object, irresistible force.
I could
force.
Make this into a sex comment.
Of course
no
you
doubt.
Could.
If it doesn't stretch, then there has to be some thing inside it.
I mean, you could make anything out of
just
it.
Just like you made this a discussion about fly fishing for no reason.
Well, I'm just
you
saying,
brought fly fishing into this.
No,
and
at
it
least
didn't
the word fly was involved.
Monofilament and stretching and something in it. Was involved.
Oh,
you wouldn't know for a number of reasons. If you ever get in it, it won't stretch anyway. So.
Speaking of that, John from Athol, Mass. Says, Fred's mental health sometimes alarms me. That Geno dream was pretty balmy. But that's what's in your head when just right before bed, you're up Googling Brett Favre's salami.
Outstanding.
So... All right.
May, it was some tight
it's 1:32. It's time to take the 1:32 break. We'll come back. We have a lot more emails. We'll get to them in the last half hour of PFW in Progress.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Mmm, these Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos Danny was telling me about.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Brooklyn Matt writes in.
Oh, boy.
He says, Eric, did you go to France yet? If so, then where's the blog pictures of you setting up your easel on the left bank to paint Notre Dame, or Notre Dame, I should say? And after being in the land of film greats such as Cocteau, Godard, and the French New Wave cinema pioneers of the early 60s, it must be a real comedown to hear Fred hype American formulaic gladiator flicks for teenage boys and say how much he liked the explosions, severed limbs, and spurting blood.
Was that Cocteau?
I think so.
As opposed to camel toe?
Hey, Eric. Hey, Eric, welcome back to the cultural black hole that is PFW in progress.
Eric would take a black hole.
You have any hole he can get. So, Brooklyn Matt's giving you his sympathies for having to come back here.
France is next month.
France?
Next month.
Yes.
France. It's monthly holiday now.
Well, yeah, after all these years, I should get more than 2 weeks.
Maybe in France, somebody on vacation.
Vacation.
Maybe
when we go to England, it'll be on holiday.
France will actually want to see his, you know, unit, because they say wee-wee all the time to him over there, right? I see your wee-wee.
See London, you see France.
Now, when you go to Paris, why don't you set up your easel and just paint out there? That would be
maybe
kind
I
of
will.
Cool. No, you could.
Maybe
one of those berets.
Yeah.
Paint a mustache, a little twirly, curly
loaf
mustache.
Loaf of bread out of a bag, you know.
A baguette. Why did you have to do it like that, Fred?
Why are you stroking the baguette?
it's a Pringles can.
I'm emphasizing that it's long.
The conversation we had during the break, Mayo and Troy Brown
are in
Three Stooges.
We were talking about the Three Stooges movie, the new Farrelly
We
brothers.
Should say that on Tuesday we are expecting that Gerard Mayo will join us for another player interview. And we'll talk about his role in the Three Stooges.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. No truth that the movie's about the Patriots linebacking corps from last year.
Oh!
He's very negative, Fred.
He really is.
So they get an IMDb negative. Credit, but they don't have photos for them, which is a little unfortunate.
For Mayo?
For Mayo or Troy Brown.
And my moles are telling me he's also going to be in Dumb and Dumber 2.
That's what our moles said, too.
Troy Brown is?
No. Mayo.
So he's now big with the Farrelly brothers,
Apparently
guess?
Apparently now he's a SAG.
Okay.
Well, they're local guys, so they're probably Patriots fans.
They are.
Put Bledsoe in. Right. Well, they were going to put Bledsoe in, and then they put Brady and Lawyer in. Who else has been in? Cam Neely.
Yep.
No, Cam Neely, yeah, yep. Sure.
Clemens.
Yeah, Dwight Evans has been in something that they
really?
Did, too.
I don't know that I've seen that one.
I'm not positive on that one. That might be confusing.
Oh, Dennis and Callahan.
Both yeah, they've been in several of them.
And
movies.
Occasionally the
me, myself, and Irene, they were
news anchor. They'll have the local, like, Channel 5 person right. or something.
Yeah, Kingpin, John Dennis was in.
John Dennis.
Would it not then be Fred Kirsch?
Is this Rotillo or Rotillo or Rodillo or Rosillo?
What an immature douche.
God bless it.
Andre from Panama City, Panama writes in. He says, I've been listening to the podcast since the last playoffs and keep asking myself, why did it take me so long to find you guys? Keep up the good work and go Patriots all the way from Panama. Thank you.
That's because we don't advertise us.
We don't advertise us.
That's why it took you so long to find us.
That's why I self-promote, because if I don't, no one will.
One of our listeners has a correction for Eric.
Yes!
He says that the wire itself is called a garrote. You use it to strangle.
Ha ha.
It can be used as a verb.
Oh, we got a little...
To garrote someone. It can be used as a verb, moron.
He gets all of the...
Now I'm just hoping he's wrong.
Is that when I was going potty?
Not wrong. I don't know, but I might have to go potty soon.
We were talking about people.
Got to get this potty started.
Somebody getting their head cut off or whatever. I forget.
He garroted.
When you strangle someone with the wire.
Now,
the wire
at the risk of getting yelled at by Eric, which is always a possibility.
More often than not.
Is it truly, can it truly be used as a verb?
Yes.
Or is that sort of in the vernacular, where you just kind of use something as a... You know,
well,
like you
go post become acceptable to do it that way.
I'm going to knife somebody. It's a knife, but you can use it as a verb in slang.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to knife you.
Shiv. Shiv is the thing and the act.
I have always heard it used as both ways, so I've never looked it up to see if that's how it's...
people that you're hanging around
I don't
with,
have to look it up.
This word.
I've always used it. I've always used this obscure word that four people have also used at one point. Indy?
I have nothing to say.
I thought you were going to say, pompous ass.
Hey, Matt, is that bathroom open over there?
Yeah, it was when I just went.
Wow.
How much time do I have left?
Pulling a Paul over here. Running out during the show.
Antibiotic might be causing some issues.
It's not a growing problem.
Going right through
you,
huh?
We also have to do the other stuff after the show.
Oh, so. That's true.
There goes Eric. I'll spray him. I mean, Andy, I'll spray him as he goes out. Josh from Waterloo writes in, hey, Cork Soakers, I have a thought, a question, and a complaint. People keep asking for video of your show, and I agree that it's not good for every show. But what about the draft shows? They are some of the best shows you guys have, and I would like to make it even more special. Nope, ain't happening. Wes Welker said when he was showcasing the new Nike jerseys that he said they felt like they allow more movement. Did anyone ask if that meant he would have caught the ball in the Super Bowl? Ooh.
Oh, maybe it meant Tom Brady would have thrown a better pass in the Super Bowl.
And lastly, I was going to yell at Paul, and then Andy jumped in last week, so I'm going to yell at him. Not really because this is not just you guys that say this to piss me off. Anywho, I get really sick of people saying how bad these players have been when they are done playing because their knees hurt or their shoulders hurt or boo freakity who. I'm 34 and at home right now because I had to have knee surgery and will be off for another 5 weeks. And this is all due to working at a job that pays $10 an hour. I have wrist problems, ankle problems, and my other knee will need work soon, too. And it is not me that is alone in this. What do you work at a rodeo? My dad had his ACL torn by a pig running into his knee. And just so you know, small family farmers do not make much money either, and this goes on for all people that are working in manual labor jobs. I don't ask for sympathy. I just wonder why these guys that are doing what they mostly say is what they always wanted to do in their life and getting paid more in a year than what I make in 15 years, get the media to coddle them. Nobody is forcing these guys to play. If you guys feel so sorry for Algie Crumpler that he can't walk, I can send you a video of me trying to walk the stairs in the morning. Go down to the nearest construction site, find a common worker and ask how his knees are, and then ask how much he gets paid, and then ask Brian Waters if he wants to trade jobs with this guy. I needed to get that off my chest. Okay.
Great. Proud of you. Thanks.
You're not buying it.
No, I'm sure he has the injuries that he cited. I buy it. Yeah. I mean, a manual labor guy? Absolutely. I buy that.
Sure.
So why did you give him a little bit of tone there?
Well, because, I mean, I don't really feel like we are guilty of coddling players for their injuries.
Was he calling us out or just the media in general?
He was calling me and Andy out at first, and then the media in general for coddling injuries. I don't really think that's the case. Who said that they felt
Charles
bad for LG
Barkley
Crumpler?
Has definitely jumped the shark.
Who says that? I mean, have we said that we feel bad for LG Crumpler, or have we stated as a fact that he sort of had to wheel himself in and out of the locker room on a weekly basis in 2010?
Right.
That's fact, not I feel bad for him. Let's weep. Let's all get together and say a prayer.
Right.
It's a fact of life. Guys that work with their bodies for a living get broken down.
Yeah,
and
I
certainly would put, what was the emailer's name?
Josh.
Josh's line of work in that category.
I don't know what context he was talking about because,
you know, as a point of reference here, let's just say for argument's sake that these NFL players that are now 3, 4, 5 years, I mean, the average career is less than three, correct?
It's,
less than four anyway.
It's less than four. It's between 3 and 4.
So let's just say for argument's sake that some guy, fifth round pick, lasts for 4 years and has made a grand total of, I don't know, $1 million. And now he might have to be a manual laborer for the rest of his life in order to make any money. Now, sure, you'll say, well, I'll take the $1 million and right. I'll be fine. Well, maybe you would and maybe you wouldn't. And maybe these guys aren't necessarily, well suited to make that $1 million hold up for the rest of their lives.
And their
bodies are too broke to actually get the job that you do.
And a lot of these guys couldn't probably do what Josh does because they don't have the skill or whatever.
You know? Or they might not physically be able to do it anymore. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're talking about. But no one's weeping for them. I mean, I'm not feeling sorry for anybody.
I'm not weeping for them.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think he's making fun of us for coddling them. I'm not trying to coddle anybody.
Yeah. Hamza's in Toronto. He says, wow, Andy's Ed Reed beard comment, Paul's chuckle, and Eric's follow-up, who's he yelling at, had me laughing out loud and then nervously looking around the office to see if anyone noticed. Good stuff. Just curious, I saw a mock with Merciless falling to us at 27. Is that likely? What do you think of him? Also, I'd love to hear you guys guess at the starting 22 for opening day based on what we know today.
Without any draft picks?
The last one is openly hilarious. Merciless has been anywhere between the middle of the first round to all the way out of the first round. Mm. And I do think he's sort of dropping as some other guys like Shay McClellan, for example, that would be rising.
That would be beneficial to the Patriots if he did, because then they would get somebody who's a decent
I don't think there's any comparison between Whitney Merciless and Shay McClellan. So if McClellan is on the rise and Merciless is on the drop, I think that's a good – I agree with Eric. I think that's a good thing. You want to try to do the all 22?
No.
Okay. Tom Brady.
It's too early for that.
Yeah. Let's get some rookies too. I mean, you might get some impact rookies. You never know.
Sure. I mean, I think we could do it. You could.
Yes, you could. But I mean, that doesn't factor in other things that could happen.
Right. Let's see. Brian in California.
Casualties.
Brian in California writes, I'm glad Eric is back from vacation.
Thank you.
Definitely adds something to the show. I love how sure he is that Belichick's draft strategy is absolutely wrong. There is no possible scenario that includes trading down that makes any sense. He actually called it idiotic in last show. It's a great shtick. It is a shtick, right?
Nope.
Answer?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Okay. You know more.
It's idiotic.
Just so you know, I would be with this draft, I'd be in favor of trading down.
Yeah. I think Paul and I realized that when we were doing the mock drafts and everything.
About halfway through, I was like, there's nobody else I like.
It was over.
A few weeks ago, I was talking to some of my friends, and of course, they all started dumping on the Patriots. Living in the Bay Area, everyone I know is a Raider or Niner fan, and they all hate the Patriots. So Joe starts in with Belichick is a genius, so far so good. He goes on to say that Bill gets the most out of the players with limited talent. I'm still with him. Then he says Woodhead couldn't make most Division I teams, Kevin Falk couldn't play anywhere else, and Troy Brown was a good special teamer. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Woodhead, and I think he might be right about that because he doesn't fit every scheme. But Falk and Brown are personal favorites, and it rubbed me the wrong way. So I started talking really, really fast and really, really loud and didn't stop until everyone walked away. I'm not sure where I picked that up. I'm assuming that you guys agree with me. I'd like to hear you guys quickly summarize why Brown and Falk were exceptional players so that I can add your views to mine and make a compelling argument without screaming next weekend when I see these a-holes again.
I don't see a reason not to scream.
No, I think the two of them, they've been called this before, and they're football players. They're just good football players. They're smart.
And I
I think that's also a disservice, though. They've made a lot of big plays in big games.
Because of their brains. Kevin Falk. Because they recognize the situation and they can react.
See, I think
Kevin Falk's ability is not because just because of his brains.
But he's a
He's one of the greatest players in SEC history, the greatest conference in college football.
He was the leading rusher in the greatest – he graduated as the leading rusher in the greatest conference in college football.
Yeah, but
– ever.
I think those two guys, what sets them apart is their brains.
Yeah, I think Falk's physical skills are I think both their physical skills, you know, you can only make a guy just barely miss like Troy Brown did so many times before you say, he's just good. He's physically good. It's not always because his head was here. He's good.
He is physically good, but I think that the Woodhead and Brown are a little bit more similar than Falk. Oh. Falk comes out with immense physical skills out of LSU. Like
I
said,
that is so utterly disrespectful to let Troy Brown in with
Danny
Woodhead.
The other guy was cut and brought back several times as an eighth round pick out of Marshall when Marshall was a 1AA school.
And that's why.
And even
I think comparing Woodhead physically to Troy Brown is one of the more disrespectful comparisons I've ever heard.
I didn't say they're the same. I said they're more similar than Falk. Oof. Falk to me came out of school. Falk had athleticism off the charts.
It's almost something like you swore.
Yeah.
Almost.
You know, Troy Brown is not.
Fuck.
I agree with you, Andy, that Troy Brown is much more physically gifted than Danny Woodhead, but Troy Brown is not as physically gifted as a lot of wide receivers in the NFL.
Sure.
Kevin Falk, for the first 5, 6, 8 years of his career, was very, very physically gifted. We're remembering now when he's lost a step, and yes, Fred, he does it now. Well, he has done it the last couple of years more with his mind than his ability, but this is a guy that had a lot of ability coming out of college. He's not an overachiever.
Why did he he was never really, though, the number one back on the Patriots.
Well, he was small.
Well, he was, and that's mainly the main reason. I mean, people didn't think he could do what he did at LSU.
I also wonder now if, you know, back then you didn't have guys like that.
He created the third down position.
Look at how long it took Tiki Barber to sort of just become that guy for the Giants. It was like a stigma against. Well, he's kind of small
Meggett was one of the original third down guys.
You know, they didn't think that small guys like that could hold up for 20 carries a game.
Yeah, right.
And maybe Falk would be out of the league now.
Right.
He could. Probably would be if they tried
to
do that.
Runs too upright, not fast enough.
Right.
I think that was the thing. I don't remember watching him play in the SEC. I know his production.
As a rookie, he could fly. And he broke his ankle, too. And I think that hurt him as well.
Whenever I saw him 2001 on, you know, working here, he never had very good speed.
Andy and I were at the game in Oakland in 2002 where he returned a kick for a touchdown.
Kick
I'm telling you, I think the calendar changed in the time it took him to go 95 yards.
So I don't know if it was that ankle injury or whatever, but he lost it.
Janice writes in. She has a clarification on the Tebow talk that we had.
Janice? How do you spell that?
Janice?
Janice?
Well, no.
Janice in the house!
No, she
it's actually Janice.
It's spelled J-E-N-N-I-E-C-E, but she writes G-N-I-C, so I think she wants me to pronounce it G-Nice.
G-Nice in the house!
Okay.
All right.
She's a long-time listener, first-time emailer, a huge Pats fan dealing with living in New York City. Just wanted to clarify that if you go to just about any article written on Tebow's Easter talk, you will find it was Tebow that approached this Texas church, not the other way around. He requested to speak, and they suggested Easter, but it wasn't like he was simply invited, as you implied a few times. Okay.
Fred.
No, I just think...
Well, I knew nothing about the story, so don't blame this.
It's no big deal. Take it as you will, but he is certainly looking for a soapbox.
Yes. Why did he choose that particular church in Texas? Like, what... Was there any reason? Did the article say?
Maybe G Nice will let us know.
Yeah.
G Nice.
Give us a reply there, G Nice.
That was nice of you to tell
me. It's actually Janice.
And Larry wants to know, did we not see The Godfather? Because The Godfather's personal hitman died with a garrote.
Yeah. Luca Brasi.
Luca Brasi got.
Yeah, but was he garroted?
Was
he garroted?
Garroted.
They didn't say that, though, did they?
No, they didn't say that in the movie.
No, but they used it.
That's what they used to kill him.
No, I know the scene. They stab him in the hand on the bar, and they get him in the
wire comes over, and his eyes bug out, and
he has a cigarette going, and it falls out of his mouth. Yeah, I remember the scene. He sleeps with the fishes.
Yes, and we do have further clarification. Somebody here has said that garrote can, in fact, be used as a verb or a noun, strangulation or throttling.
First time ever, he was actually
especially in the course of a robbery.
Yes, I don't. Somebody I'm not in the habit of going around misspeaking.
It's also an instrument, usually a cord or wire with handles attached at the ends, used for strangling a victim. And back in the Spanish days, it was a method of capital punishment in which an iron collar is tightened around a condemned person's neck until death occurs by strangulation or by injury to the spinal column at the base of the brain.
An iron one? So slowly?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's, yeah.
It's just tightened, tightened.
So, you know,
tightened.
That was back in the Spanish days.
Right. Yeah.
And the Inquisition.
The days of Spain.
I think exactly he meant the
Inquisition, I think. Is what
okay.
He meant. Spanish Inquisition.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
I just thought it was a funny
and
way
I don't
to
know
say
when
it.
The Spanish days were and, or weren't.
And Artie has a problem with Andy
on
that drop
existence.
About me looking up the junk and all that. He says it makes no sense to me. Male penises, Andy?
I know.
Really? Are there any other kind?
I've said that 1,000 times. Because he's played that 3,000 times. Apparently we're not very good. We only have like 3 great moments.
Well, we have another one to throw in there with Adam Jones now ripping you.
It was a little long.
Kind of cleaning up from the show. Josh writes in about Eric painting in Paris. He thinks that's a little misleading. He thought it would be tracing.
No London moment today?
Nothing funny about
that. Oh,
yeah.
What is your London update?
Tickets for the game. The October 28th game.
London?
Yeah.
And not your
not
tour?
Yeah, right. Tickets are now only single seats. Single seating is all that's left.
So you could still
game.
Go.
No, I'll have a seat.
No, I was saying you wouldn't have a date, so you could still go. You only need a single seat.
Listen, bitch.
That's a long way to grandma's house there, Andy.
Yeah.
You would know. You're the king.
Three sports.
You have fat shoulders.
So if you want to go to the game and you have other people that want to go with you, you're going to be sitting in separate sections.
Okay.
Or at least separate rows.
That's great.
That is good. I mean, yeah.
Or at least separate fast. Seats. For all you know, there's just a seat, 6 people in another seat.
Possible.
Be the same row.
Yeah, possible.
Do a lot of people in England go to these things alone? Is that?
I don't
How
know.
Do they end up with all these single seats?
Well, because they only, you know, you have a row of what?
What if you go with 3
10,
people?
12 That's seats, cool. And he has a party of 4, he has a party of 2, and
Eric's
the numbers just
himself.
Don't match up.
He goes, a lot of these people go along. I go, well, what if it's like a party of 3?
Well, I've always
Fred goes, well, that's true.
Yeah. I've always wondered if there's an art to that in the ticket people, though, trying to ensure you don't have too many of the
singles.
Yeah,
maybe they put 2 3s in the same row to make, to make it
odd
even
rows,
number.
Even rows.
Or who
or
knows?
Something.
I don't know. Is there always an even number of seats in a row? Is that a thing?
I don't think there is always because, you know, you have those weird, like,
right. They usually
thinner
come
sections
to a point.
Or, they're narrowed down and you
I
have
I would
like,
imagine
three
they do
four,
their best to, you know, eliminate the single seat. That's available in the section.
Plus, not
plus wow. What?
No, that was a good update. Louis
rips you no matter what you say. You could have the most interesting
awful.
Thing ever.
Louis from Illinois.
We'll this is a stupid idea for this thing anyway.
Why? It's good if we have good updates.
Wait, don't call him stupid, though.
No, he said it was a stupid idea.
Yeah, and you got all upset.
It's not a stupid idea.
Fred's getting upset.
Good idea.
A stupid idea was getting alpacas.
I'm just trying to give you some input in the show.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That's true. If we don't ask you to participate, you're kind of quiet.
Louis from Illinois, it's been a while since I've written in, but no worries. Never miss it. They've all been great. Keep up the good work. With the last question about the trade of Ed Reed, it reminded me of a question I've always had with DeMarcus Ware being 30. How much would we have to get him, give up to get him?
A lot.
Yeah. He's not on the market.
He's the core of that defense. I mean.
Yeah, until he stops being productive, I think he would cost you a lot.
Right.
Yep. Hello, boys. This is Troy, and this is geared mostly to Andy and Eric. Mr. and Mrs. Draft, after hearing you complain and moan about Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, not drafting pass rushers over the last 3 years, when you guys got to play GM in my draft game, you did the exact same thing on Tuesday's show. You ended up picking a safety and a corner and added a defensive lineman and running back. In making those choices, you passed over some of the best pass rushers in the draft who are going to be available to us.
Who'd I pass over?
Like who?
Assuming Merciless and Ingram are off the board early in the draft, including Courtney Upshaw, who had 10 sacks last year at Alabama
Courtney
and 18
Upshaw
in his
is not
career.
One of the better
also had 17
available.
Tackles for a loss last year and an additional 11 quarterback hurries.
Okay.
Vinnie Curry.
I love him.
Named
again,
Conference USA Defensive Player
another
of the Year.
Another not elite pass rusher. Go ahead.
Okay. Ronnell Lewis. 10 sacks, 21 tackles for a loss, and 2-year Oklahoma career.
Who else?
Brooks,
Brooks Reed? Although I would be delighted with coming out of the draft with of the four you picked. Your selections don't match up with your whining about pass rushers every year.
Well, you know you can't just draft for need.
And you
get in trouble
and
that way.
Also, weren't listening when we said that this isn't a great draft for pass rushers.
If you think Mark Barron is better than Courtney Upshaw, why should you take Courtney Upshaw?
Let me tell you, this person who just emailed, he goes to MIT.
That doesn't mean anything. We know people in this building who've gone to MIT, and you know what we think of them.
I think that he might know some things.
I like that shot. That's a good solid shot right there.
Plus, if we were really GM, I would have drafted the pass rusher last year when they were good pass rushers, so I wouldn't be fixating on pass rushers this year.
If you ask me, I'd trade up to get one of the ones I want in this year's draft.
Exactly.
If you ask me, Merciless or one of those guys, I would take Merciless. I don't think the same of Vinnie Curry as you do.
And I think Vinnie Curry's highly overrated.
Personally,
because he's not really rated that highly. So this person, whoever emailed in, is highly overrated.
But I mean, I get his point. You know, we had our chance to put our money where our mouth is, and well, you guys did, evidently. Because you know, I'm not.
Grandpa
worthy.
Draft was left out.
I'm not worthy of Mr. and Mrs. Draft. But
so many sensitive egos on this show.
But I just don't think that the pass rushes that are available this year are as good as those guys.
And they're not. And even and the thing we did in the paper, or we've done very – who's the best pass rushers?
Well, no. We got to 31, and we wanted to pick nobody.
The best pass rushers in this draft, you get Ingram. You get – Bruce Irvin actually gets love, but despite his off-field issues. Vinnie Curry didn't get any votes. I mean, you could say they're at that spot, but they're not the best. They're not elite. And mm-hmm. I'm not just – I don't want a garbage pass. Right. I mean, that's how you get Sean Crable. Yeah. Ooh, we got Sean Crable in the third round. Whoop-de-frickin-do.
So easy to say that if these guys were as good as the guys that were in last year's draft, you would have picked them in this
exercise.
Sure. Yes, obviously.
I can guarantee I would have taken them last
year. You think
it would have been our first pick.
Who do you think Andy would have taken? Mark Barron, who he loves, or Robert Quinn?
Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
Well, I would also – Merciless, if you give me that debate, I'm really going to have to think because I think Barron's a very good player at a position of need. But I also really like Merciless.
At a bigger position of need.
Right.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Come on.
Thanks, everyone, for listening this week.
See, I want to do it. Fred doesn't want to.
Paul now has two legs over his head right now. Unbelievable.
He's actually...
Hey, I'll miss you guys next week. I'm on vacation.
Doing what
No.
Paul's on vacation. Where you go? Staycation? Are you going down
to
your Florida place?
How do you tell when he's on vacation?
Paul has a place in Florida, so...
I'm not going to the place in Florida, but I am going to Florida.
Going to a place in Florida, not the place.
All right, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.